The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Oh, my goodness. Look who's here. Wait, do we have music playing?
Yes,
do
we should.
Yeah, yeah, scoot that up there. Here we go. This is the old theme, right?
I believe it is, yeah.
All right, she's in town for the Philadelphia Home and Garden Show. Paige Davis is here. Hi, Paige.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Pop those headphones on. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
You were trying to figure out what word you were going to go with, either crappy or great. You picked one, right?
Why would I be crappy? It's I'm here.
You seem like you stumbled there for a second.
No. Okay.
So do you remember us at all?
I do.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
And listen. You still came. That's awesome.
Yeah. So
he's still laughing about your kitchen.
To bring those up to speed, years and years ago on Trading Spaces, my wife and I got to participate in the show. And we swapped, rooms with our neighbors and did each other's rooms up. And Paige and company came and we did the show and we had a blast. We even did our radio show live from my neighbor, BJ and Sue's backyard.
That's actually what I remember the most.
Yes.
That's what I remember the most. I couldn't really remember the kitchen. And what was the room that you worked on?
We worked on their living room.
With who?
But listen, you did so many shows. So we worked with Lori.
Oh, yeah.
And Hildy destroyed our kitchen.
Literally. Why do you think she destroyed your kitchen?
All right. So let me jump in here for a second. And I know for a fact that you get asked this a lot. Hildy is a very avant-garde. And for people who don't remember the show, they would switch the rooms. I think there was a $1,000 budget.
That's correct.
And so
you had to do it in 2 days.
2 days. Yeah. Very creative. So creativity.
You had no idea what was happening in your own room while you were working on your neighbor's room.
Right. And didn't see it. And everyone was addicted to the show, and that was the conceit, and it's an awesome conceit. So, but Hildy, she did a thing with mirrors that basically turned your splashes in your kitchen into a shrapnel collection.
Yeah, so she broke these mirrors, and she made a mosaic out of the mirror as a backsplash.
Did she not use mortar?
But I mean, not enough.
How is that different than glass tile?
Not enough, because it was really sharp. Edges were exposed.
So it wasn't executed correctly, so I would blame that on your friends.
Right. Oh, nice. See, that's good.
Listen, I was happy with it at the time. When we did the reveal, I thought it was cool. It was
remind me a little bit more about it. Was it the orange kitchen?
No.
Did she spray paint your appliances?
She did. Yes. She spray painted our appliances black, though.
Yes.
She spray painted our refrigerator black.
It was almost like an S&M kitchen almost.
Yeah. No, stars and garters.
Yeah.
No, and we had to go to the store to get automobile paint because she tried to use regular paint.
Yeah.
And because didn't she spray paint your oven also? And we're like, Hildy, that's going to heat up and peel off.
That I'm not sure. But some of the paint got inside the refrigerator as well, which was kind of funky.
I just remember the shards of glass everywhere, all over the walls. I mean, and I watched the show and I just. There, even watching it, I could sense a disappointment.
No, they did like it. Out of the gate, it was cool. Where it became an issue was when you attempted to sell the house.
Oh, that's right.
And that was a problem.
Well, that was the great thing about that show is I watch a lot of home improvement shows and there's an unlimited budget or whatever. But that particular show, you didn't know what sort of reaction you were going to get from the families.
It was priceless.
Real, yeah.
And you handled it, Paige, as the host. You handled it very well. And you would... you would help mitigate disappointment sometimes. Sometimes it was completely obvious that someone was just completely destroyed over what was done. But I think the fact that you had a limited budget, it lent itself to creativity where people at home could be prompted to say, well, I could probably do something similar. And that was the whole gist of it.
Absolutely. I mean, we started with catalyst for an entire new genre of television in terms of this wave of design television. And we were also really the first show to put tools in the homeowner's hands.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think seeing, a Preston, just someone you can relate to, really using the tools or Sue Smith, it was always like pretty great. We usually would do the reverse stereotype. We'd put the woman in carpentry world. We'd make the man sew.
Right, yeah.
which, you know, yes, that's very cliche, but it was also, it was important because it broke down those barriers and it made people who were watching think, oh, I could do this. And because it was a limited budget and a short time frame, that was another thing that helped people wrap their minds around. And I think the reason that Hildy did such incredibly avant-garde things was to push people. It's not like she thought people were going to, like, put hay on the walls.
Which she did.
First of all, she would never want you to copy her. She's never copied herself or anybody else.
Right.
And she wouldn't want you to do what she did. But it just makes you go, oh, maybe I'll paint my walls like orange or red or a bright blue instead of beige or sage.
Right.
Right? It just makes you think bigger and bolder.
Yes. And I thought the appeal of the show was the fact that it was $1,000 and that you can cut corners and do some pretty inexpensive stuff and make it look cool if you don't have much money, you know?
With creativity.
Yeah.
And really thinking outside the box. Like, they tried to create rooms that would potentially look like an Architectural Digest room, but for less.
Well, so Bob Vila was like the first I can remember starting
this.
He's
an expert,
and then he went and did, but then you guys came in and it exploded. It became such an addiction for so many people, and you had your all the designers, and I remember people would. I hope we get Vern. Or
everybody wanted Vern.
Yes.
Vern had.
Please don't give me Hildy. That's
yeah, but and, still. And so, and in the interview process, I said that over and over again.
Yeah.
Just don't give us Hildy, which was stupid.
Well, first because of all, that's one myth I will break right now. She was set to do that time frame in the calendar probably long before you were interviewed. That everybody thinks that it's some Machiavellian plan that we do this to the homeowners, and it's just frankly not. It's a jigsaw puzzle of when the designers are available and their own schedules and everything else. So they agree to certain dates on a calendar before.
Well, you have a multitude. These are people who also work as full-time designers. And this is right. So in addition to doing the series, which, you know, was provided some money, it wasn't their full bread basket. So they had to do their other things. So you have the same group, except for I think Amy Nguyen is not part of it.
She's not returning to this reboot, but she is part of the reunion, which is really exciting.
Oh,
there
cool.
was a big reunion special, and Amy Nguyen was there for that, and it was awesome to all be together again. You know, it's rare that we can all be together as one big group because, you know, it was two designers and a carpenter, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I would see all of them over time, but it was very rare when we could all be together as one big family.
So it's coming back with this group, with the majority of the people returning, and I was really surprised to see Ty Pennington come back. I mean, Ty went off on his own, had a great success with Extreme Home Makeover.
Sure, of course.
And looked like he was, you know, creating this whole other empire all on his own, but he's coming back to the roots of it all, which is really cool.
I think that is really a testament to how much we really love this show and how connected we are. We really feel like brothers and sisters. We are very indebted to the success of the show. And I mean, I think it's a testament that we all came back.
Yeah, I mean,
all wanted to come back. And it was literally like we hadn't even stopped. It was like, has it been 10 years or has it been 10
It's crazy when you stop and think. So the show, you became the host in 2001, correct?
Correct. There was a host before me.
A host before you. But you're always described as bubbly and ebullient and the whole thing.
I prefer effervescent.
Effervescent. But, but the truth of the matter is that I think you work the best with the people, in how you can read the people, the homeowners. In a good way that makes it, I think, much more compelling viewing.
I consider myself very empathetic.
So you feel their pain.
Maybe that part of me kicks in a little bit more. But I also feel their joy. I mean,
and there's a lot of joy.
Experiences I've ever had have been, this is going to sound really funny, but some of the best times I've ever had in a reveal of Trading Spaces has been when I've been like elbowed in the nose or knocked into a wall, or because they're so excited, they're just jumping up and down with a ferocity of adrenaline that will literally knock me into a wall or knock me to the floor or hit me in the face. And it hurts. It smarts in the moment, but it's so joyous to see them just literally lose their mind and lose control.
I like that the you know, you were kind of the flashpoint for spawning all these the DIY network and the, you know, the
yeah, we create HGTV. HGTV, we created entire new right. networks even, yeah. But we are on TLC.
Woo! Yeah, TLC is where it started.
I'm glad you have not that you're being brought back, because there's, first off, there's a whole wave of nostalgia going on, which shows absolutely. That we're very popular coming back. But the fact that you're getting your due now at a time when this is the big, it's even bigger than it ever was, yeah. is very cool. And you're going to be at home show.
And just talking all things Trading Spaces, all like my thoughts behind the scenes, everything that's coming up with the reboot. That's when the reunion show will air.
Nice.
And it's going to be amazing.
That's very cool.
Steve and I suffer from the same thing, which is we love and hate the home show, because you go to it and it's fascinating and you see all the things that you don't have. You know, and you walk around and it's so cool, because you then aspire to do some of these projects and think that you can improve your home. But then you look at these other high-end stuff and you're like, yeah, I'm never going to have that, you know.
Well,
but
that's the other thing that's... Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt
you. No,
I'm sorry, Nick.
No,
but I think that's what's so great about Trading Spaces, and it always was. I mean, fantasy home television is the bomb diggity, and yeah. I love watching it just as much as anybody else. But it's like you think, oh, well, that's great for them, but how will I ever afford that? And what I love about Trading Spaces is it's so aspirational in terms of its design ideas, but it's very attainable in terms of how it's actually accomplished. For one thing, it's only one room,
right,
which helps. And the budget has been raised. It's not $1,000 anymore. It's $2,000 per room to account for inflation.
Yeah. Right.
We need to do that. 20 years since that budget was set. So it's important, and we want the rooms to be a little more elevated and to be a little higher quality. But it's still a relatively attainable amount that somebody can wrap their heads around. Maybe they can't do everything in that room, but they can do something. And, you know, with the pop-up of Lowe's everywhere, I mean, after Trading Spaces came on the air, this whole DIY movement happened in America. You know, exactly what we were saying, like tools in the homeowner's hands and attainable, affordable ideas. And
do you know what it also helped feed into? And it's something that has become, and I've tried it. I listen, I'm horrible at this stuff, but I'll sit down and I'll put on a YouTube video on how to hang a picture or something, and I'll take a shot at it, you know?
I'll tell you who hates it is general contractors, though.
Now everybody's an expert.
Well, that's been something different going into the homes now with the reboot.
Yeah.
The viewing audience in general, because of the burst of all these design shows and their popularity, the viewing audience and our participating homeowners, who we call hoes, H-H-O, homeowner.
Homeowners, yeah.
Come over here, ho.
Yeah.
They're also educated now. You know, it used to be that everyone thought interior design was only for the elite.
Right.
Right? You had to be really rich, or people like pictured sort of an Upper East Side Manhattan socialite who would have an interior designer. And I think with this burst of home shows, everyone realized, like, no, actually, we can have inspiration in our own home. We can make our home be individual to us. We can actually take the time and whatever money we have to make it special, because that's where we spend our time, and it's really important.
And people are finding like actual pictures and copying it and going Home Goods and being, you know, and finding things that are similar and just taking that as a whole and doing their room.
Here's the thing, though, from my perspective of somebody who was on the show and participated in this, don't try to do this in 2 days.
Yeah.
It was freaking exhausting.
Yeah,
it was a lot of work.
It's probably the biggest advice I ever give, and because I'm not a designer. I'm a Broadway gypsy. I'm a dancer. My background is theater.
Yeah.
But the biggest advice I give in terms of decorating and design is to take your time.
Yeah.
But also the execution of it, take your time, divide it up over a couple of weekends if you can.
Yeah, and
but
walk away
from
it.
There's nothing more bland or flat than just buying the matched set somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? Your home should represent your journey, your history, your life, your character, and it can only represent that if you've acquired these things over time. But Nick, I'm so sorry. Do you always get cut off by these guys?
All the time.
Yeah. I did it to you. I feel like I should have been the person to come in and just let Nick shine.
It's awfully sweet of you to say, Paige. And yes, every day.
Yeah. If you are just tuning in, it's Paige Davis. Trading Spaces is being rebooted, but with the original cast, which is fantastic. You know what? There's actually a spinoff from the episode that I was in while we were filming. One of the first guys I met on the production team was Jeff Devlin.
Oh, wow.
Who now has the show Stonehouse Revival. He's a local guy. He was, like, operating a boom camera on the first day, and now he's got his own home improvement show. He's great. I mean, the behind-the-scenes
people
have gone on to do stuff. Because a lot of people may not remember that Banyan Productions was a Philadelphia entity, and they did a whole lot of shows. They did tons of shows.
They did a lot of shows.
Is this still Banyan, or I don't even know if Banyan's still around.
Banyan's still around, okay. But no, it's not Banyan Productions this time, and it has opinion on them that they weren't chosen. This was brought back. It had very much to do with Trading Spaces being under the Endemol umbrella.
Okay.
You know, Endemol.
No.
Changing Rooms was actually what we were spun off from Great Britain. It's under the Endemol umbrella. So part of this reboot was, you know, the licensing. Endemol wanted it to be an Endemol production company this time, and so it was a...
To complete the ownership and have full reign over the creative aspects.
So it's Authentic Productions, Entertainment out of L.A. and they're great. They're really awesome.
I was such a geek for the show. We were in our 20s at the time.
Yeah.
Or no, was I in my 20s?
You were
freshly 30.
And
early
I was about 30s. To say you're dead to me.
First homeowners, you know, this is our first house, and so we were really, really in the same. And this was appointment television. Trading Spaces was appointment television.
Saturday night, by the way. When you normally be going out.
If you were in your 20s, that would be like, you didn't held up well.
Look at me.
But in your 30s, that makes more sense.
We knew everybody on the show, so let me go through a few of the cast members. So, obviously, Hildy and Lori, they're back. Yeah. Lori is the redhead southern gal, and Hildy was the avant-garde decorator. And then you had Frank, who was the older guy, and he did a lot of country stuff in his presentation. Yeah. Is Frank in as well?
Frank is back.
Vern Yip, everybody wanted him to because he just had a great style about him. In fact, Vern came here a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Fascinating interview with him.
He was great stuff.
Super nice guy. Who else? Who do you guys remember?
Yeah,
the others?
Doug.
So
Doug, obviously Carter, Frank, Genevieve, Vern, Heidi.
Genevieve, I had a crazy crush on.
I have a crush on Genevieve.
Stunningly gorgeous
and
talented.
And so funny and so... I love her eye. I love how she sees things. She's really an artist from the inside out.
Fun fact about her. Hang on a second. Yeah. Fun fact about Genevieve. Did you guys know that she created the bottle for Tanqueray 10?
Really?
No.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Crazy fact. True? She designed it. Yeah.
She designed it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
She worked as a graphic designer. I mean, here's another fun fact about our original cast. Of the six original designers, I believe it is only Laurie who officially went to... This actually makes us sound bad.
The only one who knows what they're doing.
Interior design school.
Okay.
Went specifically to study and get a degree in interior design. Everyone else came from different design backgrounds. Vern came from an architecture background.
Yep.
Frank came from an artist background. Genevieve from a graphic designer background. Doug was... he really was an actor originally and was doing theater and was kind of making a living in New York, helping very famous artists with faux finishing on walls. And that's where he would do all that incredible wax finishing on the walls and furniture and things like that. That's how he learned that. Mm. Let's see, who am I leaving out?
Well, you have two new people. You have Sabrina Soto and Kahi Lee. Is that her name?
Kahi Lee, yes. She's a great designer out in Los Angeles, and she rose to the occasion with the budget like a ninja. Oh wow, yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. The goal. If you can, you want to nail as close to $2,000 as you can without going over.
Like the price is right.
Right.
And Sabrina Soto is back. A lot of people know her from HGTV. Also, John Gidding. A lot of ladies across America.
He's a looker, right?
And smart. Damn, wicked smart. So smart. John, Sabrina, Kahi are our three new faces as designers. And then there's Brett Tudor and Joni Sprague have joined forces as two new carpenters.
It's very cool.
And Carter's on board as well?
Yeah.
Carter's great. He was still kind of new when he came on board to do our house. He's super nice.
He had a crush on Kathy.
And who wouldn't have a crush on Carter?
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's not necessarily technically a legacy carpenter. But, I mean, who doesn't want him to be in our cast?
You're hustling, right? You're the one who's in every single episode. Everybody else is interchangeable. So you're the one who's really busting your ass the entire season.
Yes, Casey, you are my best friend. That is true. And when the show was, you know, very, very popular, the landscape of cable was very, very different. You know, seasons of television shows now are significantly less in quantity than they used to be.
Yes.
We shot 75 episodes a season.
That's insane.
I never, ever stopped. It was hard.
You, and by the way, you were working when you would not just be walking around and say, what are you doing? You would jump in and help with the work.
Of course, anytime I could.
You did seem tired while we were working together. And when the camera wasn't on, and I totally got it because you got to put on the smile and, you know, you got to deal with the camera. But you looked like you were working your ass
off.
Well,
you were later on in our run, too. So
yeah, the thrill was gone at that point.
If I remember, I was also writing my book at that time.
Oh, okay.
And
page by page?
Page by page.
Nice. Sandra Mary Search, yeah.
And so... And doing the book tour. So even when we did have certain days that were off, which were few and far between, they were soaked up immediately with other things that I was doing. Trying to make money, honestly, because you don't make money on a cable show.
No, you do not. Yeah.
Well, when is the show debuting?
April 7th.
Okay.
Is that the reunion episode that airs first?
I believe so. I hope TLC isn't mad at me for this. And I don't, but I'm pretty sure the reunion is going to air right before the first episode.
I think it's going to be, first off, it'll be a nostalgic hit for everyone who loved the show, as we all did. And then I still don't think there's anything quite like it, you know, with the limited budget and, you know, everyone getting in and rolling up their sleeves on TV right now.
I really hope that a new generation will fall in love with it the same way the previous generation. I mean, it's only been 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got a lot of, you know, high schoolers and college kids who watch the show who now have their own kids, and I can't wait for them to introduce it. And I want people, oh, God, you're so sweet, Casey. He's raising his hand like he's in elementary school. Can I just say they're so respectful to each other here? I mean, I made the joke about Nick, but they like raise their hand to talk so they don't interrupt each other, and it's so sweet.
Yet we managed to interrupt each other.
And I still interrupted even just by raising my hand. She stopped what she was saying, but I want to say, like, $2,000 is an attainable budget for any room. And I love HGTV and I love, like, you know, Flip or Flop, but they do multiple rooms and they spend tens of thousands of dollars doing these renovations. And so the fact that you guys are coming back and you're doing something at a limited budget and you're not just doing a living room, I would imagine you're doing bathrooms and kitchens and all that sort of stuff.
It's hard to do a bathroom. We've only ever done one in the history of Trading Spaces because they're just too small. You have to be able to get a cameraman and a sound guy and two homeowners and a host and a carpenter and, like, in a room. So we did do one. There was one really big master bathroom.
And you did it for $2,000?
$1,000.
No,
$1,000. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It was a relatively famous room where Hildy put all the silk flowers on all the walls.
I remember that.
Which America thought was absolutely nuts, and the homeowners loved it. And it was stunning. It was absolutely beautiful. But what I was going to say about the show is I want everyone who is listening and everyone who used to watch and who will be new to it, one of the things I think that's so great about it and for new people to see it after all of these other reality shows have come since us, we are truly reality. We really do it in 2 days.
Yeah.
We really only spend the money allotted. The homeowners really don't know what's happening in their own room.
Yep.
They really spend the night in
each
other's house.
We can attest to it. Yeah.
You've done it.
There was like a wind down clock. They were like, towards the end, they were like, we got to hurry up.
Wow.
We got to hurry up. I mean, like, there is a deadline, no question. There's a day 0, 1, 2, 3, you know, and it's
day 0 is like the setup and all that. But then once we swap keys, it's like 2 days.
It's on.
And the reactions were real.
Oh, yes. And that's worth watching alone. It always used to kill me with and Ty Sean. We talked about him. Is that you have this family that's basically living in a 50-gallon drum eating squirrels, and they send them away. We got to get it done. If you need some extra time, do it. You know, we didn't believe that, the project's a wash.
Well, what always killed me was like, and we turned around, and then the entire Teamsters Union showed up out of nowhere.
Oh, my God.
With the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Hey, did you hear that the entire Philadelphia Eagles team attended the Justin Timberlake concert?
No. Oh, see, I get it. Nice. Oh, with the Patriots, right?
Yeah, they were all there. It was amazing.
That's amazing.
You know, so, I was born in Philadelphia.
Yes, we know.
Hospital, so I was very happy.
Oh.
So
nice.
I was so ecstatic. And
excellent.
I actually started getting into football relatively recently, but I, even if I hadn't have been, I loved the game, and I was just, nice. I was really
tired. The city responded well to it, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You also lived in Wyoming for a hot minute, too, right?
No. That's one state I haven't lived
Kentucky.
In.
No,
Kentucky. Kentucky. I was born in Philly. I lived in Virginia and Wisconsin and New Jersey.
Oh, maybe it was Wisconsin. I just
Kentucky.
Put the W there.
You know, Wisconsin, Wyoming.
Nice. Same thing. I mean, there's only 50 states.
Well, I went to college in Texas.
I'm excited for the return of the show.
And
I'll be on board immediately. Well, listen, wonderful to see you, Paige. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
All right, thanks so much. Paige Davis, yeah! Guys!
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, what's up? It's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas are officially open for the season. And WMMR's Day Up on the Slopes with Pierre Jackson is January 4th. Tickets are available now at WMMR.com while supplies last. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about it. You now. There's over 50 locations of Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to handandstone.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So a little while back, we got puppies right before the beginning of the year, and I'm learning, not unlike children, that as dogs grow in size, their abilities also grow as well. Like with kids, you know, they go from crawling to walking, you know, to reaching at things, grabbing stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so on and so forth. So now, as the dogs increase in size, where they can get to, because they're small dogs, they're Yorkies, they can get up on certain things, and now their reach is increasing. So you got to be careful where you put stuff, because they like to eat things. And again, last night, my son was doing his homework, had left it at the kitchen table, had left the chair pulled out away from the table, which
homework?
Is now a step to get up onto the table, which is new.
Right.
And yeah, I come upstairs and there is his homework chewed up on the floor.
Like literally the dog ate my homework.
The dog ate the homework.
He ate your homework before.
If I were a teacher, I would not believe that excuse.
No,
I'm so happy.
That is exactly what I was saying. I'm like, the first thing in my mind is like, the teacher's not going to believe that.
The teacher will not believe it.
And it was torn up in little bitty shreds. Not all of it, a portion of the page.
And was the homework completed?
The homework was completed.
Oh, man,
he was
that
pissed,
sucks.
But there was enough of it where it didn't like ruin the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which is good. And I should have taken a picture.
You should have, because that'd be proof. That'd be, something he could have shown the teacher.
Either that or the teacher may have thought he tore up little pieces of it. But anyway.
He's not that kind of kid, right?
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Well, he's pretty lousy with his homework.
Oh,
but,
so maybe.
Press, my first dog I ever had was an Irish setter, and he was a beautiful dog. He was a model. My parents had him, model for, Milkbone boxes and stuff
He was a Milkbone model. Wow.
Right?
But he was the Matt Cord of dogs.
That's
He was something along those lines. A beautiful, beautiful dog. But, man, did he have, some sort of separation anxiety. Like, my dad at one point
had... He was high maintenance.
Yeah, well, they would go to work. He ruined furniture. He, ate a couch, a table.
Yeah.
All of this
They
stuff.
Freak out.
So bad that my dad was on the phone with, the insurance company, I don't have him. He ate another couch.
Yeah, we had some friends who had a dog, and this was when I was just a little kid. I was maybe even pre-K, but I remember this dog would eat everything, and it was before the days of being more conscious about leaving your windows down and everything. So they left the car and the dog in the car. Windows were down enough where it wasn't crazy, and I don't think it was summertime. But anyhow, the dog ripped the front seats apart.
Jesus Christ.
So anyhow, to key off of this story with this last night, and then like a week or two before, once again, I see... Yep. Rook, the male dog, he's got something in his mouth.
Oh, no.
I go over there, and yes, it's another bloody tampon.
Oh, no!
What? Which somebody left the bathroom door open, and...
Okay, so can we definitively get the reason why, because I've had male cats that have done that over the years.
Okay.
Well, Steve, mine is the female cat. The male cat sits there and watches the female. Like, he's like, uh-oh, she's doing something wrong.
Oh, my God. After a while, we had to get a garbage can you could close.
Yeah. Steve, I got the damn garbage can with the lid. She opens it. She can open the stupid lid.
Going after tampons?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's like having a pet that would go after used toilet paper. Right. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. We have to, in our bathroom, we have to put... the trash can on top of the sink.
The sink, really?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Okay,
yeah. It's so crazy. Mm-hmm. But Preston, the same thing. So my two kittens, they're getting bigger. And, you know, now they can jump up. They use things as steps, all of that. Oh. They're breaking glasses. They use, like, their little paw to push the glass over. I can't leave anything on the counter and even in the sink. They're not breaking it in the sink, but they're getting into the sink. If there's anything in there, even if there's no food, it's just like a glass, they'll go in there and knock it over. So now my house is even more clean because I don't want the cats to break anything.
It forced you to put things away.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember the first time I saw, it was our cat Mac from years ago, and it looked like, oh my God, was OJ over that?
Oh no.
I mean, like
blood.
Oh. And I'm like, oh dear God.
I know.
And then I go into the bathroom and he's there like eating corn on the cob. How are you? Are you kidding?
Gnawing on it.
You know what? What I find funny is so my cats are the sweetest cats. They wouldn't put their claws out at you. They don't hiss, nothing. Yeah. Unless she has the damn tampon, because this has happened a couple of times. And
she goes tampon crazy.
Oh my, like, you can't go near her. She doesn't just, like, have it in her mouth. She's going to town on it. It's disgusting.
Kathy, to your point, and to Casey, your point, the blood, it must kick in some sort of feral thing.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Obviously these are animals, and they're going to revert to their more animalistic nature. But jumping, Jesus.
Right. Well, also,
there's
repulsive.
I can't think of anything, you know, and stepping in crap in the morning's no problem, or vomit, but that, oh no.
Well, I just, you know, with the animals and their, you know, especially dogs and their heightened sense of smell, you know, like they go and they sniff butts to find, hey, where have you been? Oh, okay, I see that you've been over this person's house, and they just smell all that stuff. Yep. My dog, when I was a kid, he could jump the fence. There was nothing we could do about it. So he would jump the fence and he would take off and he would come back an hour later. And every now and again, he got into something stinky.
Yeah.
Something fish stinky. And it was just putrid. And you,
it was the guy who lived on the corner, fish stinky.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he made it down to the creek and was doing something down there, or if he made it into a trash.
How high is your fence?
Like a chain link fence.
So I've seen there's video, and it was just making the rounds about a week and a half ago of a dog, Preston, kid you not. So this dog is tinier, but the fence is like 6.5-7 feet. It's a picket fence. The dog, and it was back to another fence. The dog got up, climbed over the one fence, and then legs spread, was negotiating between the two fences.
Yeah. Like Jackie Chan.
Like Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
So we didn't do him any favor. We taught him all of this stuff. I mean, during, you know, Dave Fairman, right?
Yes.
Dave Fairman lived a block over, and he had a quarter pipe, you know, kind of up against his garage, and we would run up the quarter pipe and then get on his garage roof. My dog would do that. He would run up the quarter pipe and then jump up on the garage roof. And then when he was done, he would slide down the quarter. You know, so we taught him all the wrong things.
When
as a result, he found the fish trash.
Fish trash, tampon trash.
Yeah, and we're about to, we got to get ready to put, so we have a fence in backyard where the dogs can run around back there. But we have a lot of landscaping, so there's mulching that needs to be done. You put fresh mulch down. It's crap. I mean, there's poop in it.
Yeah.
you know, and they already dig in this stuff like crazy, and they come in with it all. If we put fresh mulch down, they're going to, in the inside of our house is going to smell like a horse came in and crapped all over the place. It's going to be happening. Let me go to some calls. I'm going to go to, let me go to Nicole. Because I have a couple of calls that are like this. Hi, Nicole. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, Nicole?
So I have two dogs, but my one dog is, he's a rescue. We got him like 5 years ago. And we don't really know his story before he came to us. But I'm thinking he might have been on the streets for a while. We call him Junkyard Dog because he gets into the trash. But his favorite treat from the trash is dirty diapers.
Oh my God.
All right, is he treating it like a Hot Pocket?
It is unbelievable. Like, it's like a delicacy to him.
Oh my God, that's awful.
And back me up on this, Nicole. When you discover the dog eating it, it's like, hey, look what I found. It's like I went to the fridge and I found a chicken breast.
Aren't there like chemicals in diapers though? Like
for absorption.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used it when I had my first son. I used to get really bent out of shape because I was afraid of the, you know, all the stuff that's in the diapers.
Yeah.
All that gelatin stuff, and I would call the vet, and I would try making him throw up. Now it's just like, not again. and the worst part is we have hardwoods, but we have area rugs, and he like loves to bring it to the rug.
Okay. You've also hit another thing.
Yeah.
We now have a house that has no carpet or area rugs at all in it because I got, if you could put down, you could have a house the size of the Taj Mahal and put down just a swatch and every animal would piss and crap and throw up on that little piece of carpet.
Hey, Nicole, does this dog lick your face?
God, no.
Oh, okay.
I love my dog, but I'm telling you, like, he's just different. He's not a face licker, thankfully. Yeah. He really isn't. But I even put the baby locks for the cabinets on the trash can for the dog.
And it's a good idea.
It's one of those, you know, like the kind of trash can that's in a drawer?
Yes.
And he knows how to open the drawer, so we have to put the baby locks.
The only thing you can do is you've got to put it in a closable room, you know, a small closet, put it, even though you have, because you start to get relaxed. Oh, they haven't done it in a while. And then you leave it out, and that's when they target you.
You have to get like a baby genie, Nicole, if you know what one of those are.
We have one. He knocks it over.
Oh, my God.
He's
see?
Addicted. He's here with a blowtorch.
There's like no way around it unless we take the trash out instantly after every day. It's so bad.
He's addicted. He's got a problem.
Yeah, you know what's funny?
He's got a diaper on his back.
My dog had a penchant for eating paper towels, and you didn't know he was doing it, but when you would take him for walks, and like literally one turd would just be nothing but a paper towel. Oh, my God.
You know, in a way, he's cleaning up after himself.
He really is.
I just got an email from a listener. Paula sent in a picture of her toilet paper roll, and it's just a sign that says, we have 8 cats' toilet papers on the toilet on the towel rack.
There you go. That makes sense. I'm going to go to Pam. Hi, Pam. Good morning.
Big brown Guatemala nipples.
Getting sucked on by all sorts of pimples.
How are you?
We're such idiots.
What's up, Pam?
So we have a 5-year-old border collie. A couple of years ago, he was outside crapping, and as he was on his way back in, my husband felt something hanging out of his butt.
We
thought it was just a piece of rope, like a string from a rope that he was chewing. My husband's like, oh, man, I think it's worms. I'm like, well, pull it out of his butt before it comes back in the house. He pulls it out, and it was a bloody tampon.
Wow.
Seeks out of here. To someone who didn't know what that was, they would have thought they've just pulled out one of the dog's organs. Oh, my God!
I just puked in my mouth.
So you guys put the tampon in the wrong spot. Oh, it ate it.
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He ate it. He went into the trash can because we have a septic system. So, unfortunately, TMI, but I can't flush that. So I have to put it in the trash can. So, needless to say,
at that point, I would just kill myself.
Thanks, Pam.
That's horrific.
You know, well, you know what I think I need to do, Steve, is set up in the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's like a pneumatic tube that goes straight to the trash can outside that takes dirty tampons.
Like at the bank.
Like old style banks. And then you have that tube that's all bloody.
Well, you know, every time we talk about this, I get people say, why don't you flush your tampons down the toilet?
You're not supposed to.
You know what? And I just think, like, some systems really can't handle
it. Kathy, and we've had, to that point, we've had a number of people, they're biodegradable or they're flushable. And we've had plumbers. You know, we've talked to them.
Yeah.
We said time and time again, even when they say that, they encounter huge problems with pipes that have been clogged up with those things.
I had a plumber tell me nothing is flushable. Even if it says flushable wipes, they're not flushable.
No, I read a story not that long ago about an area around here that's having serious issues.
What do they call that thing that builds in the sewer? It's like a fatberg. Yeah.
Let me go to Casey. This is for you. Kelly says she can tell you why your dog is coming back stinky like that. Hi, Kelly. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. What's up, Kelly?
First off, just want to say that Ronnie's girlfriend, she sounds like a class A woman.
From entertainment, Sounds like $1 million.
Just want to let you know, I had a Siberian Husky. It was the coolest dog ever, Mr. Drake. And he ran away, escape artist. He was rolling around in dead deer and other dead animal carcasses and would come home smelling like...
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. I guess the idea is they're in nature. Maybe they would be attracted to that and whatever the reason is, mask their smell.
He dived into it on his back, rolling around like a pig in poop.
Did
like
you see him do this, Kelly? Did you see this?
Oh, yeah. We would go up to the country, and that is how I, confirmed it, because he saw the deer carcass and, dove for it and was just on his back.
Happiest
dude in the world.
Could have been
and
it.
And then he smelled like fish, and I was like, oh, this is what you've been doing.
Sounds like what that was with you, Case.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
Wow. And it lingers.
Thanks, Kelly.
Yeah.
I mean, you can give them a bath, but the smell is still there. I've honestly been debating a lot lately about getting a pet. I haven't had a pet of my own for a long time.
Don't do it.
Well, this conversation is not helping one bit, you know?
No, honestly, here's the deal. Even at that moment with the bloody tampon in his mouth.
Come here.
Here, little Dickens. So come here, you little perverted.
It's interesting
repulsive
because
creature.
I've mainly been a cat owner from my adult life. As kids, we had dogs and so forth. So when my last cat passed and we were kicking around the idea of a dog, I weighed the responsibility issues versus a cat. They're a little lower maintenance, and the cats are a little lower maintenance. I'm okay, so we'll have to walk the animal. We'll have to, I'm just going to have to go outside and things like that. But then things started to pop up that I didn't. Oh, they eat furniture. Okay.
All right.
Didn't know that.
Everything.
All right. And they like to root around in things that smell like crap. Okay. I didn't know that. And it's just like one thing after another.
The money I spent on that fence, I now have to put another smaller fence below it.
And then what happens is there'll be a time when you're sitting there and both of them will be sleeping next to Caroline. You'll go, okay.
Oh, no, I still love them. I mean, they're adorable.
And I know you do. Yeah, you're a good pet owner.
Yeah, there's a ton of puppy mills out there, Nick, that you can go get a good dog from.
Casey wants to get flooded with pet charity emails.
Yeah, right up by Lancaster, right? Yeah.
Now, mind you, occasionally their heads fall off.
Casey's joking, buddy.
Because he knows we're so tied into animal rights.
Well, and any kind of off-comment thing that comes up, you get besieged by people who are really, it's their mission to fight against. Anyway, I'm going to go to Emily next. Hi, Emily. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great. What's up, Emily?
So my dog likes to eat the crotch out of my underwear.
Your dog eats the crotch out of your underwear? That's your husband's job.
He does not want to eat my husband's underwear, just mine, and my mother-in-law when he's over at her.
Oh, my God!
Mother-in-law.
I bet your mother-in-law is flattered by that. Right. I still got it. Guess whose dog eats the crotch out of my underwear?
That's so terrible.
So now I have a special basket for my underwear that's on the top of my closet.
I went through menopause, and the dog still eats my underwear.
Emily, how long has this been going on?
Since day one. He's about a year and a half now. And since the day we got him, he's been loving my underwear.
Let me ask you, Emily, do you... I'm trying... So do you ever use like a scented detergent or anything to sort of when you clean? I mean, is it always used or can it be clean and the dog will still chew the crotch out?
Well, I don't use anything scented or anything like that, but he usually goes for the dirty underwear.
The dirty underwear. And so...
If I have some clean underwear laying out, he'll get to that too.
I would check pay good money to see a video of a dog eating the crotch out of some panties.
Wow.
Oh, and he knows that he shouldn't do it. As soon as I find, because he only goes for the crotch, he'll leave the rest of the underwear.
He's a dog after our own hearts, yeah. Preston.
Thanks, Emily.
You know what, so the female cat also tries to get into the laundry basket. Now, mine has a lid, and it's a little bit taller, and she's small, so she can't quite get in there. But I'm wondering if that's what she's going after.
Probably.
Maybe. Let me see. I'm going to go to this.
It's so terrible.
Yeah, here's another one. Let me go to Jeff. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You rock.
Thank you, man. All right, what'd you want to tell us?
So my dog has eaten and passed a full pair of my girlfriend's underwear.
Wow. Full pair, not just the crotch like the last call. He goes for the whole thing.
No, we were in the middle of Savannah, Georgia, and he squats to go, and out comes a teal pair. And it's just
a teal pair.
Yes. Oh, and they really have to fight to get that out, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. So, do you think you'll ever see a day where you'll get the whole set, the panties, the stilettos, the whole deal?
He's working on it.
He's working on it. Right. Casey, for a dog to pass something like that, like a full pair of underwear. Yeah.
I've heard my dog say, oh, God. When he's trying to get some stuff.
I think it was in City Slickers. One of the guys goes, yeah, it was shaking like a puppy passing a peach pit. Let me go to Devin. Hey, Devin, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Great, Devin. So tell us your story.
So we have three dogs in the house, and the older dog likes to barge into my kids' room and get the diapers off and eat them.
Oh.
And I've walked in, and I'm still nursing because I have a little baby.
Wow.
So I've walked in the middle of the night and stepped on the nasty, dirty.
Oh. Devin, are you saying that the dog will attempt to take the diapers off the baby?
No, not the baby, but that'd be really bad.
Yeah.
No, we keep him on top of the dresser in a bag because he knocks over the diaper genie. He knocks over the trash bags, everything.
You know what? And it's just advice for any pet owner. Talk about what you were talking about, Preston, how whatever you think you're doing that's going to take care of it, multiply that by 5 times, and then you'll be in the right realm because they will find a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the same thing with babies. All of a sudden, they can reach things now. And then you have to change the height at which you put everything. And the same thing with dogs.
Would you agree that what you have to ask somebody, tell someone what you're doing, and if they laugh at you, then you're doing the right thing? Because it has to seem that absurd to the lengths you have to go to make sure they're not getting into it. Yeah. Because one time, I remember we were trying to keep a cat out of one room, so I got two baby fences between the doorway. So it was up about 6.5-7 feet.
Yeah.
Boom! Cat was in the other room in two seconds.
My dog won't, he'll walk past his dog bowl, 10, 15, 20, 30 times a day and not touch it. But if we put the cat's bowl on the floor, boom. He's like...
Yeah. They can be eccentric. I'm going to go to Toby. Hi, Toby. Good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up?
So, I got my roommate. She's in her mid-40s. I'm in my mid-20s. All cool, whatever. I had a lady friend over the one night. Things got heated. Next morning, I'm sitting in the living room after the girl went home. Chit-chat with my roommate, and my roommate's dog decides to pull the protection out of the trash can and bring it in and show it to us.
A condom.
Toby! I was waiting for it.
And how did your roommate react to that?
Oh, she was fine. She was busting my stones about it. Okay. I can't beat red.
I'll guarantee you, you're lucky you weren't pulling it out like a ticker tape from the other end.
Yeah, that can happen.
Oh, yeah.
Years and years ago, we talked about, things that pets will eat and how they come out the other end. And somebody had said that their dog had chewed up and eaten a cassette tape.
Like a Maxell 90-minute
And then, Steve, you know how long those things are, the tape, the actual physical tape itself. And it was, like you've said before, the magician pulling out the, that whole thing. They kept pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling, and it took them forever to get it out.
Rockefeller looking, you know, for the stock exchange, you know.
The ticker tape coming through. They will dive into anything. So we're in the we're trying to figure all this out
and just going
what you can and can't do, because now the oldest dog is able to get into just our regular kitchen trash can, which has a lid on it, you know, and it's, I wouldn't doubt it if he's figured out how to push the foot pedal down to open the top and then get into it. So
just a quick thing, what you can do is that there are different devices, like I recommended to you, Kathy. There's a thing that has an infrared sensor on it, so you can put it up on the counter. If the cat jumps up on the counter, it just
shoots out a little blast of air.
Yeah,
really?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It works for my female cat. The male cat laughs at it and walks by.
Oh, that's funny. Wow, interesting. All right. Well, thank you for sharing your disgusting pet stories this morning. We appreciate it.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Ghost. Bad Wolves. The Struts.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
I'm 93.3 WMMR.
We would like to welcome back someone, and welcome someone for the first time. We have from the WWE, the world's strongest man, ladies and gentlemen, Mark Henry is here this morning. Yay! And along with him, we brought from the Divas, the lovely Bailey.
Yes, sir. Lovely,
hello,
lovely.
Hello.
Good morning, guys. Welcome to Philadelphia.
Thanks. Look at that picture of me up there.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a Stone Cold vest.
Yeah. Do you remember that moment, or could that be any moment
that
backstage?
Basically me every night, but that was from last night.
From last night. All right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Nice. Hey, you know what? You've already been in town for a couple of days, Mark. Weren't you at the Polar Bear Plunge a couple of days ago for Special Olympics?
I was.
Did you get in the water?
I did not.
I can't deal.
I've actually done it before with the Polar Bear Club in New York.
Oh, yeah? You
know, so we would crack the ice and get in, and like it's for a good cause. I mean, hopefully I'll be able to do it here next year.
Well, let me tell you something. So for a couple of years, I've been one of the co-hosts with Matt Cord from our sister station down the hallway here, and Kathy was it one year, always brutal. I mean, super. The one time they don't have us out, it was like 50 degrees.
Yeah.
And it was like, geez, why? This one time, you know, the water temperature would have been manageable. It was still cold.
I went in one time, and that was enough. Like, I did it one time. I could say I did it, and that's it. I'll host it. I'll come, but I will never go in again.
Well, you know, you can do bucket list stuff, but I'm just saying, guys, you know, it's for a good cause.
I did it.
Suck it up.
I did it.
It's not a good time to actually have a set. they tend to disappear.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and they send us out, and they're telling you, they go, don't go into the water above your heart. I'm like, why is that?
Oh, my God.
You're going to die.
Yeah, that's but it's all cool.
Hey, so the show's coming to town, man. This happens, you know, once or twice a year. We get the WWE, and Philly's a big wrestling town.
Wells Fargo Center, Philly.com.
Boom.
You got it. At your boy.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
Teamwork, baby.
You guys work well.
You tag me in. You know what I'm saying?
You know, Mark, you're a producer. You handle that as well as being, you know, a representative of the sport and all that stuff. This, or at least that's what I read anyway.
Yeah.
But the production of the WWE and the show and the multiple shows is just huge in scale. How many people, any idea, when your show comes to town, are involved in putting it on?
Usually we have at least... And on our lighting crew, there's five techs, mm-hmm. and then you have about 25 assistants.
Okay.
Just for the mechanics of the lighting. And pyro, I assume you added more people.
Oh, my God. The pyrotechnics company that we work with is new, actually, for us. They've been with us probably about 4 or 5 years. You know, in wrestling...
You're grinning now.
I We use the term shit can. I'm sorry.
Okay. We can dump it.
S-can.
But we S-can them because, you know, that was a little malfunction.
A little malfunction.
And they had to go.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
So we got a new crew, and they're unbelievable.
I'll tell you what. You go, and I've seen people who are reticent, and they don't get what it's about until they go. And Preston has said it. We've all said it. Once you are there, I defy you not to be caught up in it. Right. There's no show like it.
There's not one second that something isn't going on.
Yes. Right.
There's not one moment. You think, okay, they clear everybody out, they get a new match coming. No, there's something always going on to keep you entertained.
Right, and I have a question about how you become a referee in the WWE, because I've noticed that some of these referees just aren't up to par. They're easily distracted.
Yes.
You know, sometimes there's cheating, right?
I think there's vision issues. We're going to have to get one of the glasses companies to come in.
Right, like Pearl Vision Center?
Yeah, like, and just, you know, reevaluate these guys.
I mean, it's time for LASIK, yeah.
It's got to be a governing body or something.
They're clearly missing things. Yeah. I mean, stuff is slipping through the cracks at a high level.
Yeah. Mark, how long have you been in town? Because you went to a Flyers game, Sixers game, right? And I heard you in between periods, or maybe it was after the game when the Flyers won over the weekend. You were with our sister station, the Fanatic. And it seemed like they gave you a jersey. Like, you had a pretty good time while you were at those games.
Oh, my God, what a good time, man. And I'm telling you, like, I was under the impression that the ghost was bigger. Because of how he played.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Man, that he's not a huge guy. He's probably about 200 pounds, which is a big man.
Yeah.
But I was expecting him to be like 240.
Yeah. I don't even think he's 200. Those guys, they got their pads on and then they're on skates, so they seem bigger, but you got to have a lot of finesse.
Man, that dude was kicking people in the teeth, man. he was flying around and like avoiding people, and he hit people, and he was just very skilled. And, you know, I was just super impressed. And hockey is a lot like wrestling. Like, for people that have never seen it.
Yeah.
If you go in person.
Oh, yeah.
Hockey is a different game in person than it is on television.
Yep. It's the game I most like to see in person because it just, and I also like to be up to see all the ice. But I think you're exactly right. There's some, the dynamics shift and you really begin to appreciate it.
They have to find a camera angle where you can show the board from the inside like wrestling.
Right, right.
If they can do above the canopy and have a camera go along the top so you can see the board getting hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Change the game.
Yeah, it's wild.
Watch it rattle. Yeah, exactly.
You got to see that. Like, that's the best part of it for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't speak for everybody else. can somebody explain the blue line to me? Because that's the only problem that I'm having.
How much time do you have?
Oh, my God. Like, why? Sometimes it seems like it's very clear. Okay, he was behind the line.
Right.
Let's advance. And then sometimes they don't go behind the line.
You can straddle it.
Yeah.
You can straddle it.
No, there's no straddling in baseball. No, there's no straddling. You shouldn't be. It's either behind it or don't have the play.
Mm-hmm.
Take the blue line out.
Take
the
game
go fast.
Yeah, there seems to be some gray areas with that.
Yeah, I don't like the gray area.
Bailey, I have to ask you because, you know, over the course of the years that the Divas have they've morphed and changed. And where they are now, I think, is such a cool place because athletes, there's so much more focus on like comprehensive stories. How long have you been a fan of wrestling? Has it always been a part of your life? Do you come from an athletic background?
Yes to all that.
All that.
Yeah, I played sports when I was younger, and throughout high school I played basketball. And I've been a wrestling fan since I was 10 years old. So I already knew this is where I wanted to be. Started training when I was 18.
Who was your first? Who was your first idol? Who was your first? Who did you hate the most and who did you love the most?
Man, I was, as a fan, I loved everybody. I was just, everybody was so cool when I started watching it. But Lita, I think, had like the biggest influence on me.
Okay.
She was so different from everybody then and really made me feel like, okay, I'm different. I can do this.
Yeah.
I don't know who I hated. You know, it's weird because I love her now. I hated Gail Kim when she debuted in WWE because, wait, I have a question.
You're having season.
I love her. But
is that Robert Irvine's wife?
That's my girl. I love her.
She won the title on the first night, and I was like, that's not fair. She just got here.
You didn't put any work in.
Yeah, and obviously I didn't know what I was talking about. She's amazing, so I was, I'm a huge fan of hers now. But throughout the years, we have totally, the women's division has grown so much where now we are not divas anymore. We are WWE superstars, just the same as the men. So
But the diva thing still flows its way in there now when you hear people refer to it.
Well, there's a show called Total Divas. Maybe that's why.
All right, maybe that's it.
We're superstars, all right?
Yeah.
Put him in his place, Bailey.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys are just, because when I was growing up, there weren't many, right? You had like Wendy Richter. Yeah. Like the Fabulous Moolah.
Oh, God, the Fabulous Moolah, yeah.
Right? And then you had Glow. Have you watched the Glow thing on Netflix?
Yeah,
what did you think
of
that?
Yeah, I loved it. It was great. I didn't know what to expect, but I thought they told a great story, and it was really fun. We got to meet a few of them, actually, at the Mae Young Classic, so it was really cool.
Yeah, that used to be. I remember even when that came out of left field, people were like, what the hell is this? Now you couldn't have wrestling without what you guys are doing. You're bringing a substantial part of the entertainment. Then there's mixed, which you're involved with as well.
Yeah, I think it's just there's a whole different audience nowadays. You know, there's a lot of kids right now, and I think there's a lot of little girls that are just really into what the women's division is doing, along with the men, but it's something that they can look up to, and if this is something that they're interested in, or if they want to be an actress, or if they want to be in the WNBA, like whatever it is, they could see that, like, they can be at the top of an art like that, you know.
Does it blow you away when young girls come up and are like, yeah, I want to be you.
Yeah, it gets me emotional every time because that was me.
That was you.
You know, totally. Ivory and Lita, everybody that I met, I was like, I want to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
And now that I am, I have kids doing it, and
it's got to be great. Yeah.
So we have a friend here collectively, Joe Fucci, and he's a huge wrestling fan, and he didn't come in here this morning because he couldn't come with his wife and his daughters. And he was like, I wouldn't be able to enter my home if I came and met Bailey and didn't bring my family with me. So I got a question for you because, you know, you're talking about mixed match challenge, and your partner is Elias.
Yeah.
And you're learning how to play the guitar.
I'm trying my best. Okay, so I had a guitar.
Are you performance ready yet, right? Or no?
I'm not performance ready yet. Okay. But I will. I think that's what he's not seeing in me. He thinks I'm just playing I'm just like joking around with him. But I'm serious about this. We're going to do a cool duet, and we're going to blow all the other teams out of the water in the ring and outside of the ring with our guitars.
Do you know the funny thing for people who aren't aware, and one of the things that gets you when you finally do, crossover and become a fan, is there's... Besides the wrestling, besides the physicality, there's just so much interaction and egging on and acting and so much that's going on that surrounds that it's a wild thing. Did you have any issues? Because you got to lose them fast when you're speaking in front of 40,000, 50,000, I don't know how many thousands of people.
100,000.
100,000. Did you have to acclimate, or were you always gregarious and big? And
no, I learned all... You know, being in front of a camera when I started in NXT, I
was just,
you know, I learned how to wrestle, and that's what I wanted to do when I first started. But it wasn't until I got signed to WWE where I was like, all right, now it's time to come up with a character and get comfortable in front of the camera, which is where Dusty Rhodes, you know, came into like my life, and just really he set aside time for me and would put me in my own classes with other people who are struggling with that, and
right.
just kind of put a lot of time into that. So.
Is that the most frustrating thing, both you guys? If you see people, if you had it, I mean, like we talk about stand-up comedians finding their voice on stage, finding your character, finding who you are. Is it a struggle for most people? I mean,
you can find it, but if you don't believe it, it's not going to come through.
Okay,
and a lot of times like even myself, I was always, you know, like I'm ready to go.
Yeah,
put me out there, and then they put you out there, and then it's like, dear God,
they're not ready to
like,
go.
People are looking at you, and they're waiting.
Yeah.
On you to bring it. And man, it's a hard like way to get, you know.
Yeah, because you hear a number of guys are coming in
to it, but
you guys are always
got to be out there.
Yeah. You know, the best, we've said it time and time again, you guys and what you do, you're the as far as comprehensive entertainers, there's none better. But almost everyone has a story where they had their first couple of misfire characters, or you know, or who they are. And was there? Did you chuck any early ones?
Well, when I first got there, I was just plain Jane, basically, who I was. I don't know, nobody. But my first match with FCW in Tampa, I wore a mask. Because they, my trainer thought it would be a cool idea. She's like, there's no luchadoras. Like, we don't have any female luchadoras. So it'd be so cool. She, you know, it's a different dynamic. And
like the Mexican wrestling.
Yeah. And I had learned a little bit of that style from the past. My trainer, Jason Styles, like, trained in Mexico. So I was like, yeah, I could do that. That's so cool. And then I won't have to do my makeup because I'm not a girly girl.
Right.
So I put the mask on. It was one of her masks, actually. And it was... Not good. It was the one and only time they called me El Luchadora, which was grammatically
right.
So it was very hard to see, and it was hilarious.
They thought you were a cross dresser or something, right?
Yeah.
What's going on
what
under that mask?
They hired.
No, that's wild. But when you know, and when you get out there, I assume when it clicks, there's got to be that moment in the ring. Yeah, got it. I nailed it.
Yeah.
And you both had that?
You get that aha.
Now
I get it. I'm going to do that again.
Wrestling fans are...
Can I commend y'all?
Yeah.
Like, this place is full service. I mean, I'm sitting here, and you have, like, all the condiments for your coffee and your tea. And for those that need a little spice to your coffee, there is... Jack, there's Fireball, there's Captain Morgan.
Yeah.
You guys have laid it out. Unless you're an alcoholic, then this is not proper to see. Put this in front of the...
It's just out of reach. Yeah.
Y'all are awesome.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it, Mark.
This is very good.
I wanted to ask, WWE fans, wrestling fans can be very vocal.
Yeah.
They really get into it. They let you know what they think. Do you hear what people are saying when you're headed out, when you're in the ring and you got your thing going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Has anybody ever made you laugh, like when you shouldn't be laughing?
Yes.
Yep. Especially in the Sex with Chocolate era.
Oh, yeah.
Why did we just start playing?
Because I accidentally hit a hotkey. I hit a hotkey. I was reaching for this piece of paper, and
I wonder what that was going on.
I hit number 21 here.
Sometimes you need a thing from Sanford and Son.
Man, I thought that was a reference I didn't get.
Jeez, does Bailey come out to Sanford and Son?
It's medicine for the soul.
Oh, my God.
Mark Henry's a huge Red Fox fan.
Yes. I made a statement yesterday saying that Red Fox usually would say, hey, put it out your mind.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Casey knew that, and that's why he hit the button.
And he just picked up on it.
Well, I think that the best is the, there's a.
Shut up, dummy.
There's your good.
My favorite.
I had said, anybody ever made you laugh when you shouldn't laugh while you're in character and, you know, you're in the middle of a match? It happens.
Yeah, a lot for me, it happens on the live events where it's non-televised and you're more, for me, I kind of just pay more attention to that because when it's on TV, I'm like, focused and stuff. But it happens all the time. Sometimes you acknowledge it. Sometimes you just let it go, depending on what they say.
Yeah.
But you'd never know. I mean, you see you on, you know, out there, both you guys, you know, your stories are big, your performances are big, and it seems the fans just eat it up. I mean, there's, you know, I'm obviously there are downsides to anything where you're at, you're traveling around, you got to do that deal, but you never get that. You always get, you guys are exactly where you want to be when the show starts. And I
love it when it's really, really loud.
Yeah.
And somebody's always the one that when it quiets down, they still are in big high mode.
Yeah.
And they go, hey, guys. I'm telling you, it happens a lot. And I was just in the middle of being the meanest guy on earth. I would just bust out laughing.
Well, let me ask you. You mentioned S. Canning, a sort of inferior pyrotechnics company. Have you guys ever been close, or have there ever been near misses with some of that pyro?
Not with me.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never had it. It scares me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
it's
one of
loud.
Those, I'm very jumpy.
Yeah.
So there's been times, and this is very, very funny. We were all on stage for a tribute, and they did like a toll the bell, you know, very respectful moment. And then they did this pyro.
Was this the Andre the Giant?
You know what? I can't remember which one it was, but they did all the big pyro, yeah. boom, 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 boom. And I didn't know that they were going to do that. And so I wasn't ready.
Oh, my God, yeah.
My shoulder was gimpy at the time.
Right.
And I dislocated my shoulder.
Oh, my jumping. God.
No way.
I mean, like, I'm holding my arm and just, like, it was so brutal.
The commentators are going, look at him. He's so emotional.
He's crying. He's crying right
he's so
now.
So moved.
But this tribute. Oh, this is ridiculous.
God. An abject pain.
Yeah, from just hearing a loud noise.
It's loud.
Yeah, it is.
And it will scare you if you're not ready for it, no question.
Especially Canes.
Yeah.
Canes is packed the hottest.
Oh, is it?
They really need to you stop can doing
feel
it.
The, you can feel the freaking heat off that yeah. stuff.
Man.
I mean, we were down. We were fortunate. We had one time we had really close to near ringside seats. And when the stuff is going off, it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's hot. Well, Kane is like his, when he would come out and have the pyro in his entrance, that you didn't get a warning. It was just, and you're like, so you're not ready for it as a fan. But then when he gets in the ring, like, you're ready for that one. You're like, okay, you're not going to get me this time.
So, Bailey, you were talking about acting and people looking up to you and girls being inspired. A lot of guys and girls, you know, moving out of or maintaining both careers and getting into acting. And I mean, and now you have John Cena's got a number of movies. He's starting to take off and Dwayne Johnson and a whole list. Is that in your plan long term or short term?
I would love to.
Yeah.
Becky Lynch just got to do the Marine 7, I think, which I was kind of jealous
seven?
Of. Like, yeah, it's like 7.
Man, like when is the war over? At some point, the war's got to stop.
Maybe I'll be in the Marine 15 or something. No, I have a lot of work to do for that, but that would be something that would be just fun to look back on. And
sure.
You know, you could always have and just outside of this.
Yeah.
Bailey, I noticed you're wearing an engagement ring.
Yeah.
How often do you have people ask you to marry you? Does that happen?
sometimes, once in a while. Mm-hmm. Not recently.
Though. Not recently.
Okay.
Yeah, that myth is recently. A good.
Yeah.
That's the one
badge to say, back off, pal. When are you getting married?
Not sure yet. We were trying to do it this year in November, but it landed on Thanksgiving. So,
how do you put together a guest list when you're dealing with all the rest?
God.
I mean, because you know someone's nose is going to get out of joint. How do you handle that one?
I don't know what I'm. I already said we're gonna. He has a big family. I have a big family, so we have a lot of friends. And then the wrestling side, which I want to bring like everybody. I want Chris Jericho to perform with Fozzy. You know,
wow,
yeah.
That's gonna be cool.
Totally.
Honestly, now admit
very
it.
Expensive.
Weren't you thrown for a loop how good
because
Fozzy
is?
All right, this is your band. We were even that way, and it's like, holy crap, they're really good.
Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, the whole band's awesome. Of course, whatever Chris Jericho touches is going to be great. But
yeah,
it's good stuff. I haven't been to a live show yet, but of course I've heard their music, and I'm a fan.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You want anybody? I'm sure one of the wrestlers is an efficient and could perform the ceremony if they wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
Would we'll you have, see. Like, The Undertaker do it or something like that? Or
that'd be wild.
He has time, you know.
You have time, Mark.
It'd be a very long ceremony.
Do you take it?
That'd be cool. It'd be cool. Yeah. You know, every friend you've ever had in the world would want to come to that wedding with any WWE. Yeah. E-fan, yeah, absolutely.
People I haven't talked to in years would be messaging me.
Your best bud, yeah.
Well, off the business, so what are we watching out for in the shows at the Royal Rumble? What are the big matches we need to be aware of, Mark?
You know what? I really look forward to seeing what's going to happen with Braun Strowman. I think that he is the upcoming monster of the business.
The next big thing?
He is the next big thing, and literally and figuratively.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's a humongous guy. Yeah, I'm saying that I'm 340 pounds. Like, this guy is like a legit 6'8" and like 360 or 370 pounds.
You know, it's
he is a monster for real.
It's funny because we were talking about the shift started to go somewhat smaller stature, athletic. You know,
Seth Rollins.
Yeah, it goes through cycles. So do you think we're going back into a?
I think we're going to go back to big. Pretty soon, there's a lot of big guys come in the developmental system, and I'm looking forward to seeing. But the thoroughbred is still there: the Jason Jordans, the Finn Bowers,
right?
Kevin Owens. You know, I wouldn't say a physical specimen, but an unbelievable talent. A guy his size that can do all the things that he can do.
Yeah, it's wild to see it. It's wild. It's, yeah, that's right. And go see it in person. Person. Mm-hmm. We, yeah, it's mm-hmm. really is something.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank you guys for coming by here this morning and being a part of it. Oh, yeah, here's your outro music. Yeah, there it is. That's it. All right, thank you so much. It's Mark Henry and Bailey. Thank you, guys.
I still think this is the livest show in America, man. Yeah. Like, just, you know, you get an audience. You got the round table.
Pizza.
Y'all, I mean, how do y'all stay so trim and fit? Every time I come here, there's like enough food to feed the army.
We just work real hard, man. Thank you for being here.
MMR's Day Off on the Slopes at Jack Frost Mountain is Friday, January 4th. Celebrate winter with the best lift ticket deal out there, along with the Pierre Robert live broadcast and a legendary happy hour with Jackson, live from the E2000 Lounge. MMR VIPs, you still have time to save money. Lift tickets are now just $20, but available only until supplies last or until noon on January 2nd. WMMR.com has the details. MMR's Day Off on the Slopes. Sip, ski, and be merry. Friday, January 4th at Jack Frost Mountain. From JFBB, where the snow comes first, and 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
I was talking to a friend of mine not too long ago, was invited to be a part of this big golf tournament that was taking place, and
nice.
He was going to be an important part of this group, but he couldn't go because he was committed to going to a gender reveal party.
Stop.
And
his
buddies were giving him a hard time about it because they needed him for this golf outing, which is one I think he had played in before and they've had success with and so on and so forth. So it was, you know, it was a big deal to him, but no, had to go to a gender reveal party. Now let's review this for a moment. This is a party where people essentially are just telling you what sex the baby is going to be.
Right.
No.
Is there a need for a party?
No.
Do you know what I mean? And one that you commit to as opposed to we're having a few friends over for drinks tonight and we're going to tell you guys what the sex of the baby is.
Right. But that's what it is. That's all it is. So you guys are taking it as like another, you know, baby shower or bridal shower.
Yeah, that's what it's going to become.
A commitment. Which it is. But all it is a party. Somebody's inviting you over to their house for a barbecue to have some food and drinks. That's all
it is. Then make it a barbecue.
But why? What's the difference? To me, I don't see a difference. If you've committed to go to the party, then you go to the party. If not, then you don't go.
No. But the fear is, if I say no of going to this party, it's an affront to the people who are having
you. Hate my child.
We expect you to
be
there.
You've never liked this union.
No. Okay,
you hate our children.
No, screw that. That's if you're having a party, some people are going to be able to come, some people are not.
It's just another celebration that's not necessary.
But you just walked in. You missed what I said. It's just a party. To
no,
me,
no, no,
no.
I know. That's
difference.
The part that... It is.
It's not, though.
No, because it's...
It has... I think... Let me just put this out there. And Kathy, you can call me incorrect if it's the case. I think when you say you're having a gender reveal party, my perception is this isn't just a backyard barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to reveal to you the gender of our child. Will you be here for this hallowed moment? As opposed to Burgers and Franks, come on over.
Yeah, because if it's Burgers and Franks, come on over, and I'm already doing something, like let's say I'm down the shore, right? And now I have to leave what I'm doing.
You reply no to the party. I can't make it.
If it's a gender reveal thing, then
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Well, Kath, let me back this up by saying, from what I've been told, this particular couple, the woman involved, the pregnant woman, will make note of those who did not show.
But that's a different story. Then there's people like that.
Kind of person would make note of just about any party you refuse.
Some people can come and some people can't.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Because the way it appears to me is that these things are as close to a baby shower or a wedding shower, bridal shower as possible.
No.
That's kind of how they're presented.
No.
Is that your experience?
No. I mean, okay, so the ones that I've been to have been more of a... So I just went to one not that long ago that
You've been to more than one?
Gender reveal party?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, I've never been to one. I'm sorry. Yeah. This is something that I'm unexperienced.
Yeah, it's
this is like hearing that an asteroid is bearing down on Earth. We have another series of parties now we're expected to attend.
Well, because when your kids are older, so when you had kids, this didn't exist.
Thank
you know,
God.
This is like a newer thing. Yeah. So, but it was a 4th of July party, and so they said, "Come over. We're having a 4th of July barbecue,
that's different.
And we're going to reveal what what we're having, the gender of the baby.
I forgot, Kathy, you were at one of our gender reveal parties. It was when my daughter was born.
That was the most fun.
Girl! Yeah. That was our gender reveal party.
That's kind of really the money shot. Right.
It is.
Yeah. Then are you expected to later on in life attend the gender confirmation party?
Yeah.
When they get a baby. Sex change.
Yeah. The gender change.
See, I like that gender confirmation party,
right?
That's a great idea.
There you go.
You were at a 4th of July party. That is way different.
Tony's becoming Tina.
Right? So my little brother had a quote-unquote gender reveal party, but it was his birthday party, right?
And okay. And so they just did it at his birthday.
So his wife is from Brazil. So they kind of like FaceTimed it with her family in Brazil.
That's what I'm saying. It's just another party. Well, it's not... I don't think that anybody should feel obligated to go. If there was any type of party and you couldn't make it, you reply, okay. You say you can't go, or you reply, you say you'll be there.
So I have an important question. Are gifts expected?
No, we didn't bring gifts to the one that we went to.
Oh, how dare you?
So because Nick, she was having a shower.
Nick, yeah. I would think you'd be expected to bring something.
It's sort of like a de facto baby shower.
No, I don't. I don't think gifts are expected at gender reveal.
Bring all this your is a perfect neutral, thing because yeah. It shows the difference in, for my thinking, it does feel to me, if I get an invitation to a gender reveal party, I'm going to think it's along the lines of a baby shower or any one of those other type of events.
No, Marissa, have you been to any? Did you think you had to bring a gift?
I have not been to any yet.
Okay.
Thank God.
How many have you been to?
Any of the ones. I've been to, I'd say a handful of them, okay. Maybe five or six of them, but none of them we brought gifts.
Did you blow off any? Because you just couldn't make it?
I don't know. I don't remember. Yes, I did. I did.
So and what was your excuse?
Yeah. It was summertime. I wasn't home. Okay. It was a weekend. Our summers are booked.
So, okay, so don't you think, like, the best time for a gender reveal party would be, like, you know, Sunday in November around 3 o'clock?
Yeah. Somewhere between 1 and 4 o'clock would be the best time. Do you remember Marissa was so pissed because she was invited to a bridal or baby shower on a Sunday?
In the middle of football season.
Yeah. Well, that's different, too. You have to watch for that.
I can help a lot of people out here right here. And this is just honest, and your friends don't want to tell you this.
Yeah.
They don't want to go to any party you're throwing.
No.
And you don't have to go. Things of that nature. Now, if you're going to say, come on over, we're going to get, you know, we'll have a barbecue casual. Also, I think for a gender reveal party, I don't know. I'm not knowing that this has become this runaway train now at this point, I would think, okay, I guess I'll have to get at least a little presentable. And, right. And you know, are you with Bermuda shorts and flip-flops or what?
Well, okay, so right. Listen. So
don't you guys perceive it as that?
Yes.
But listen, so it started as, you know, so now you can find out what you're having. You can prepare before the baby even gets here, you know? So it started as the parents finding out.
Yes.
And somebody, you know, like almost like what your wife did, Preston, she put what she was having, the gender of the baby, in an envelope. She took it to the store.
We didn't even know. We had the text at the...
Right.
Where they check on the baby and find out the sex, and then we had the clothes, the appropriate,
to take the baby home.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's similar to that. People started to do that, but then they would take it to like a cake shop and they would bake a cake and it would be pink or blue on the inside, and then they would bring it home, and together, the couple, maybe a few people, mm-hmm. would cut it open. But what it's turned into now is the party, right. Where sometimes now the parent, they know, and they're just telling the guests that are there.
Right.
As opposed to them finding out themselves.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Right.
There are some where they will be surprised as well.
Right.
You're right,
I wonder if, Preston, and I'm not, you know, even I'm examining myself.
You're looking within your soul.
I wonder if I am perhaps a little bit jealous that I didn't get to do this, and that's why I hate them so much.
Okay.
Right.
That's an honest opinion.
No, but because I can tell you why you're not, because no one wants to go to your parties.
Exactly. But
here's
what
I think. Okay. If you're gonna create this yet another party, we need to lose one. You know, if a new Hallmark moment is being created, we need to get
rid of
it.
All right, here. You want to know what you eliminate?
Yeah.
The one-year-old baby party.
Okay, well...
The kid doesn't know!
The kid doesn't know. That's a drinking party.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, that's fun!
But you're right. For the invitees...
Like, yeah. Jack and Jill.
It's literally the child's first birthday, so I got to keep that one in, Steve. But I'll come back.
Will you see
this.
Me on the Jack and Jill?
Yes, yeah. Or just the
shower. The baby shower.
No. The wedding shower.
The wedding shower.
The pre-wedding wedding.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
You're usually not invited to that. What are you complaining about?
On a Jack and Jill, you are.
Now they're starting to do
that. Co-ed wedding party.
Oh, and yes, you are. Like, I wasn't invited to the showers, but I was invited afterwards to carry all the packages.
You know what I did?
Yeah.
Do you know what's the worst? I went to a little Jack Horner.
Yeah.
I had to sit in the freaking corner the entire evening.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't even allowed, like, hey, how about give me some of the food that you guys ordered? Or, you know, something along those lines.
Are you talking about for your wife?
All of
that! Well, yes, of course. You have to help.
No, you don't.
Marissa, give me a sandwich for it.
This is guys just complaining about what the women want to plan.
Yes.
We've given you our seed.
Thank you.
We did our part.
Yes.
It's all about meeting the people you're going to see at the wedding that you might not know yet. And then you see them ahead of time.
So that it's fun. It's a fun party. Yay! You've seen them. You know them. We're new best friends.
You know what's also fun? Sitting around.
Don't even. I know so many women who hate baby showers. Who just despise baby showers.
I hate baby showers and bridal showers, too.
Yeah, Marissa? Me too. The last one I went to, I left for a Flyers game. I went for about 15 minutes.
Like, how fake are they? You sit around in a circle and you go...
Oh my God, it's a little jumper.
The stuff is cute, though. No, I've been noticing that, and I got jealous at first because I was seeing a pop-up on Facebook, but, like, my friends aren't inviting friends to, like, baptisms and things like that anymore. Yeah.
You got jealous of not being invited to a baptism? I'd rather go to a gender reveal party.
Baptism!
That was a big thing. Yeah, I thought, like, oh, I'm part of your life. Am I not part of your child's life? But then
I didn't invite my best friend, my oldest friend, to my kid's baptism. They're atheist, you know?
Dude, why would I bring them to
Well, all right. Maybe I'm just used to, like, big Italians. Like,
that was a big
20-inch
thing.
20-inch sheet cake from Termini's at our baptisms and communions.
With a big cross on it.
Yes.
Oh, you mean the after party?
Yeah. No, okay. I don't want to go to church.
You'll burn it down.
The all-nighter.
By the way,
things are just being replaced. Like, she's right, though, because I've seen the same thing with baptisms and christening party, communion parties and things like that. Like, they're not doing the big, huge, everybody invited, but they're doing the gender reveal.
Quick question, Kathy. How responsible is the baking industry for these, you know, I mean, somebody's behind this.
Yeah, all the
Who's providing the sheet cakes? Right. That's follow the money trail.
Well, but it's not the sheet cakes anymore. It's these big, huge towers that cost $500.
Exactly. By the way, the only good thing about gender reveal parties are the fails. And if you go to YouTube and you can watch gender reveal party fails, and they are so awesome. What people getting smashed in the face with wiffle ball bats. Yeah. Like,
what's the most worthless party to be invited to? Would it rank up there with baby shower, gender reveal party?
Search party, I would say.
Search party. Yeah. It's never fun.
Not a search party. I know. You got it the whole time. You're just looking.
I found the body.
Graduation party, first communion, baptism,
engagement party,
political party,
engagement
party. Yes,
that's my least favorite.
Mm. Okay, I don't think been to an engagement party.
You know what? Maybe it's because I like planning these, but if you're going to plan, like if you were to come over for an engagement party or a gender reveal or whatever, I'm going to make sure that there's good food for you. There's going to be plenty of alcohol. We're not going to run out. You know what I mean? Like
Keep going.
Is my couch going to be there? Is my couch and my TV going to be there?
Do you have a takeout window?
Casey, my couch is going to be there and football is going to be on it. You know what I mean? Like,
but I'm not allowed to take my shoes off and put them up on your couch.
Yes, sure you are.
And then put one of your pillows in between my legs.
Steve, I love the idea of a drive-thru. Do you have the filter voice? Hi, welcome to Kathy's. Gender reveal party. What can we get you?
Yeah, you want an apple pie with that?
Yeah.
I just think, okay, what party would you guys like to go to?
What's kind of have to recuse yourself from this conversation because if you recall, Kathy said if she wasn't doing this for a living, that she would be a party planner.
Totally. That's what I'm saying. If there's a type of party that you guys would like to go to,
your question. A lot of it also has to be predicated on what level of family we're dealing with or friends, dear friends. Yes, you know, but sometimes, and not that, you know, there are many people that I enjoy their company, But a lot of times, if you're like two or three levels removed and they're having a baby reveal party, you're like, what?
Then you reply no.
And you're right to do that. But out of the how many you've been invited to, how many did you want to go to of the baby, of the gender reveal parties?
I went because I wanted to go. They were people that I was close to.
I'm tired
Sorry.
Of her saying, what? You just say no.
You do.
Sometimes you're dragged into it by your spouse. You have to go.
Well, then right. You need to take that up with her.
Oh, when
you
get home.
Yeah, right. No, you're right. You're right.
This is like talking to the cancer about the symptoms.
You're right, Preston, because we don't even.
It's like, why didn't you just not have it?
I didn't get this invitation to say no to. I get this thing of saying, oh, by the way, just a reminder, you know, have something nice to wear for whatever. And
exactly. Like, that's not the part. That's not a problem with a gender reveal party. That's a problem that your wife didn't come to you and say, hey, do you want to go to this party?
I can say this. I have no problem if I don't want to go to a party. And I always say this to people. Listen, I get it. If you don't want, it's no problem. I will not think any, because I think you have to go many levels in to make them realize you are not offended. It's okay. It's fine. But anything like this, by my reckoning, has an air of, it'd be really nice if you could come and share in this special event. and then you know, it makes you like, oh, because no one wants to let other people down. Anyone who's, you know, has a sense of caring.
Are there pregnancy announcement parties too? That seems more exciting than a gender reveal. The I am pregnant.
Well,
you know what,
yeah,
I mean?
there's special ways to do that now. Like you
tell the grandparents.
We're going to tell
whatever.
The grandparents on Christmas. We're going to wrap it up in a gift, and it's just going to be a picture of.
Won't the baby die?
No. The baby's
the
in
picture.
The belly at this
oh,
point.
The
baby's not born
okay.
yet. Yeah, so the baby's incubating. In the
open up yes. that one first.
The one with the air hole.
Hurry up. Hurry up. Open it.
Shaking it.
The baby died.
I love it. Like, so, when people God. Don't get it, you know, like, I'm going to be a big brother, you know, kid, you know, the kid wears a shirt, you know, to a party that says, you know, big brother in waiting or something like that.
I find those things adorable.
You remember right, that? Nick didn't get it.
I didn't get it. My nephew Luke was wearing a big brother shirt. I thought he was a fan of the TV show.
Are you serious?
All right. Let me go to some phone calls. People have been on hold for a while. I'm going to go to Dan. Hi, Dan. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Nice, Dan. What's up, man?
All right, so my wife made me go to one of these, and I had to drive like 3.5 hours away in New York.
Oh, my God.
We were there for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. I sat at a table by myself while she hung out with her friends.
Uh-huh.
That's brutal.
And so what was the actual reveal? How did they execute the reveal of the gender of the baby?
So the whole time I was hoping that it would be a fail because I hate these things.
Right,
yeah. So it was kind of like a semi-fail where...
They had it in a truck.
They had a box.
Okay.
And they had balloons inside of it, and they were going to open it at the same time.
Okay.
But, like, for some reason, one of them, like, opened it a little bit and then closed it so everyone else saw, and they had no idea. So all the girls were cheering with their phones, taking pictures.
So wait, was there like a pink box and a blue box, and one of them had balloons in it?
No, there was one box, and it was just like a regular box, and you open it, and then, like, the balloons fly
colored
out.
Colored balloons fly out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't that so cute, guys?
No.
It was really dumb. And then...
That's where you stand up, pull back your pea coat, and reveal that there are sticks of dynamite wrapped around your waist.
Yeah, I wish. It was the worst.
Thank you, Dan. I guess it's a way to have a moment at a party. There's a crescendo. There's a... Here it is. Yeah. This is what you've all been waiting for.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
As opposed to like a graduation party, which is everybody coming in and saying congratulations. This has a moment, a surprise element to it. You know what I mean?
And listen, this person thinks that you're special enough that they want you there for their special moment. And you selfish jerks think that it's stupid.
Now, if somebody wants to do a video of the reveal and send that out, I'll gladly watch it.
Yeah.
I will celebrate. And, I might even send you a nice little gift to say congratulations.
And thank you for not inviting me.
But if you made me
party.
Drive 3 hours to New York and have me sit at a table for an hour while your balloon doesn't come out of the box, there's going to be blood.
Yeah, I don't need the surprise. I don't care.
I just give me the data. Give me the raw data and I'll siphon through it.
Either tell me right then and there when you find out.
So how did you do this?
Or when
we
you
had intercourse.
Or when you have the baby, just tell me then. Like, oh, cool.
That's great.
What did you name this little crap?
Yeah. I mean, either call way, him accident.
It's really not going to affect my life one way or the other.
I'm
going
to go too.
Can I say something to the crowd here? I don't care. I just spent an hour going over the Throg's Neck Bridge.
I'm
going
to go to Captain. Captain, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
All right. First off, nobody cares what gender your kids are. Yeah. All right. So I have a 2-year-old, and I feel like I'm completely trapped in the age group where it is every other weekend where, and it's great. You know, people are getting married. People are having kids. But when you go to these gender reveal parties, now I'm known as the guy who does not care. So I'm standing there, and people are looking at me just waiting for my reaction to their reaction. So my buddy Steve just had one, for example, and, you know, they do the ribbon, and it's all blue. It's all over the backyard, and everyone's going to have to clean it up in, like, 5 minutes after 8 Miller Lights and everything. And I'm standing there, and people are like, oh, I knew it was going to be a boy. You did not know. You had no idea. Oh, carrying this way, just shut up.
Yeah. So let me ask, so you're saying, like, you're getting invited to a ton of these now.
Oh, and dude, you guys are so right. No one will say it, but if you say no, they're gonna write it down in their phone or have it as a tablet.
Thank you. Thank you for verifying.
10 years down the road, when you guys have some sort of blow up about something,
You did not go to Lonnie's gender reveal party.
Yeah, I feel like in like 10 years or like 20 years when you're super graduate, you're like, remember when you didn't go to the gender reveal? How dare we? We're not going to the graduation party.
Yes, right. Oh yeah, 20 years, 18 years down the road. Oh
yeah,
they didn't come to that.
You never cared.
They got to look at the long game, man. You got to play the long game.
And, yeah. Kathy, listen, you know that there's a scorecard.
In
every relationship we have, there's a scorecard.
I know. See, but I'm viewing it more as just a barbecue, an everyday party where, okay, yes, if you didn't make it to the wedding, I'm going to remember that. But you didn't come to the gender reveal. It's not like it. I don't know.
Want me to give you the perfect analogy? All right. So you say it's just a regular barbecue. For years and years and years, I was a hamburger eater. And my dad told me Sloppy Joe's, which I did not like, are hamburgers with the ketchup on. Well, then why don't they just call it that, Dad? Why did they have to create a whole new class? Why do I see mix that says Sloppy Joe mix? It's different.
Right.
It's not a bar. There's an emotional context connected to it that is, you can blow up. Like, hang on. This child was forged in a bond of love, and we want to that carries more gravitas than, hey,
yeah,
throw a couple steaks on the grill.
And by the way, Kathy, not showing up to a wedding and not showing up to a gender reveal party, that's not 1-1. You know what I mean?
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Listen, you know, that's if you're keeping score, not showing up to the wedding is a 10, right?
That's what I'm saying.
I'll tell you the gender reveal party I'll go to. Those people that you maybe work with that you don't know what gender they are. Right? You like Pat or Pat?
Oh, my God.
This weekend, we're going to tell you. I'm there. I've
always wondered.
That's the gender confirmation.
Gender confirmation.
That we do.
I'm a girl. Knew it.
Yeah. By the way, a couple of videos that we were showing, we were seeing the different gender reveal type of mechanisms that you can do. The ones that look cool were the cars.
The cars are pretty cool.
Where you put the exhaust. Yeah. Well, they put a powder in the exhaust pipe, and it's either blue or pink, and then they start doing burnouts.
I drive to see that.
That looks pretty cool.
Guys.
What?
Preston's starting to come around on this.
No, he's not.
No, not a party. I'm just saying that looks pretty cool. The videos are fine, but being committed to going to one of these would suck. I've never been to one. Hang on a second. Now, John went to a gender reveal party, and he wants to reveal something about that. John, you're on the air. Good morning.
Gadzook, guys.
Gadzook, bud. What's up?
So last year, I was at a gender reveal party for my cousin, and this was a fully, you need to be here. This is going to be your cousin. All my friends are going to show up. And I believe somebody in that studio also was there, Kathy.
Really?
Am I being blamed for it? Sure. It wasn't mine.
Yeah. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying that.
Who's your cousin, Matt?
Elizabeth.
How's Elizabeth your cousin?
Lynette's my cousin.
They're all my cousins.
And what? And they? But see, that's one that I went to where it was a casual barbecue. It was, hey, we're going to have a barbecue. Come if you want.
Let me ask you, John.
Hold on, John.
He's heard about it every day since Mara's been born.
Wait, what did he
say? It again, John. We didn't hear you.
My sister didn't show up to that gender reveal party, and she's heard about it every day since that.
But hold on. You guys aren't going to get this. John, who is she hearing it from? Not Elizabeth.
No, from Lynette. But same. It's the same difference.
Who's
it's all the same. It's sister. The same. It's the same thing.
Lynette's probably
so you're saying,
right,
John, that despite what we're hearing, it's not just, hey, it's a barbecue.
No, it was never planned as just a barbecue. Hey, we're bringing all sorts of food, and there's going to be drinks there, and we're going to have a big surprise to show, and they already knew what the baby's gender was.
Yeah, I tend to think that...
I think we just view it differently because that is literally the one that I was talking about. It was, we're having a 4th of July barbecue. Come over if you want. But he's saying no. What, you know, he was at the exact same party and he's saying no, it wasn't.
It might be perception. I don't know.
Perception's reality. Yeah. I think, again, if the people that you love and you know, listen, I'm thrilled if you're pregnant and you're having a kid. That's fantastic. Wonderful. But every step of the way need not be cause for a party, a celebration.
Well, or something that you feel that you're required to go to.
I know.
And I don't want to have to go to anything.
I don't want
to
go.
But I mean, if you have to leave, you know, if you had big plans, or if you're away on a vacation,
you're
or something
doing
like
something,
that, but you're kind of being guilted into it. It's like a. For that,
you don't
really?
Want to press in. Do you want to be laying down on the floor in your suit? I don't want to go.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to go. Exactly.
But anyhow, I just thought I'd share that story. But I knew there would be some pointed opinions on that, so I figured we'd take some calls on that.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR. Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
The B-File brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. New handcrafted espresso drinks from Dunkin' are amazing. Sipping is believing. Get any medium latte or cappuccino for $2 from 2 to 6 p.m. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
The Archdiocese of Naples says that it has sent the Vatican a 1,200-page dossier compiled by a male escort identifying 40 actively gay priests and seminarians in Italy. In a statement, Cardinal Crescenzio Seppe said none of the identified priests worked in Naples, but he said that he decided to forward the file to the Vatican because, quote, there remains the gravity of the cases.
I tell you, that's what I'm going to read on the beach.
For which those who have erred must pay the price.
It's good summer reading.
The dossier containing WhatsApp chats and other evidence was compiled by a self-proclaimed gay escort, Francesco Magnacapra.
Yay.
He has told Italian media that he outed the priest because he couldn't stand their hypocrisy any longer. None of the 34 priests or six seminarians was accused of having sex with minors. But this guy was quoted as saying that the...
Mostly blacksmiths.
In the diocesan statement. He said, we're talking about sins, not crimes.
All right.
He said it's the latest sex scandal to convulse the Italian church. And the Vatican, because last month, the Vatican judge pleaded guilty in a Rome tribunal to having child porn on his computer after police were brought in when he allegedly tried to fondle someone. So, but this guy's saying, no, they're just messing around, and that he's got proof of some sort.
I also have evidence that in the 80s, many of the cardinals would not be kind and did not rewind.
Which is also a sin.
Yep. This is a sin.
It's not a crime, it's a sin. A goat that has managed to evade Kentucky police for years has become the pet to area construction workers. Police in Hardin County said the goat was dubbed Houdini by locals because it was always managing to escape before officers could show up to capture it.
We call him Houdini because he's escaping.
The animal is most frequently seen around Interstate 65 and has frequently been seen balancing on a concrete barrier at the side of the bridge on a highway.
This is a talented goat.
Houdini even has his own Facebook page, which has more than 20,000 fans on it. So he's a bit of a celebrity in the area.
I always thought Houdini, like, died doing his act. I had no idea that he died from appendicitis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, if you watch the movie with Tony Curtis, it appears as if he dies after doing a trick. He's an inverted right. Yeah. But no, that's
somebody
not the case.
Punched him in the stomach.
That did help exacerbate the issue in real life, but he died later on of the appendicitis.
Yep. Houston police now have a person of interest in custody in connection with the shooting death of a man at a garage. The circumstances behind the shooting were unusual. Sergeant Mark Hallbrook said that there was a small party. Said the victim put on a bulletproof vest, and another man who has a gun wound up shooting him. It's unusual, but these things happen sometimes.
Well, let's try this thing out.
That's kind of what it was. And this happens so often, it's ridiculous. Mary Washler wasn't at the party, but she's the longtime girlfriend of the man police are talking to. She said he went there to sell his friend a flak jacket. She said it's so bad because he didn't know the gun was loaded. She identified her boyfriend as 39-year-old Jason Griffin. She said that he told her that he went to sell his friend the bulletproof vest. According to what she said, Griffin told her. He even asked, "Brother, do you want me to cinch that up for you?" But they were playing this stupid game going around, and he said, "Shoot me." And when Griffin didn't think there was anything in it, he did, and he tried to take the vest off and save him.
Jeez.
Police said that he left the scene.
I have to go.
I must leave now.
I think I left the iron on.
Warsler said that he returned to Rosenberg earlier this morning, shaken and afraid, and he is being held in that. So don't put it on and test it. That's just not smart. If you're going to promise a cheese festival, the one thing you really need is cheese.
I think so.
But organizers of an event in England are now offering refunds after running out of the smelly stuff.
Where's all the cheese? I specifically came here to have some cheese.
It's an obnoxious crowd.
They've been hit with complaints on social media with people calling it.
For 5 hours, come here to have my cheese. I show you some goddamn cheese. They got crackers.
There are
what am I going to do with that? Cracker with no cheese.
People were calling it a shambles, with one simply saying, was expecting more cheese.
Or at least some cheese.
The weather is being.
There's no goddamn cheese. It's the worst cheese festival I've ever been in.
The weather is being blamed for some traders being unable
to. What's good weather for cheese?
To get to the site.
Oh, sorry. Was the weather too inclement for the cheese?
The Big Cheese Festival. That's what it's called.
You know, you could put some saran wrap over it.
The Big Cheese Festival had promised a plethora of the finest international cheesemakers and mongers showcasing their amazing cheeses. But for some of those who paid $30 to get in, there simply weren't enough of those mongers.
Where are the mongers?
Following the complaints, the Big Cheese Festival has put out a statement on its Facebook page saying it's just as disappointed as yourselves.
Listen, we're all very sorry about the cheese incident. We hoped there would be cheese at the cheese festival.
And the event was disrupted by...
Despite our best wishes, there was actually no cheese at the cheese festival. We're hoping the wine festival will be a lot more successful.
By the adverse weather conditions, they said. Organizers say they're now offering a 50% discount to next year's event to anyone who bought a ticket. I'm the only one that really thinks this is hilarious, but I'm sorry.
Just to have a cheese festival sounds cheese.
Yes.
It's just totally counterproductive.
Where's the cheese? Where's the cheese? I came down from Manchester to have some goddamn cheese. I show up, I got my crackers, I got my bib.
What
happened? No cheese.
No cheese. Okay.
Not even cottage cheese.
All right, and then we'll wrap with one more story.
I'm going home.
How about this one? I've sat on this for a couple days. I should have gotten to it ahead of time. Man and woman in a New York City suburb were arrested Friday after the woman allegedly dumped a container of popcorn on a 2-year-old who had talked during the movie. Authorities arrested Carrie Carmen and Charles Carmen, who were both charged with endangering the welfare of a child.
With popcorn?
Yeah. A 28-year-old mother had taken her young daughter to a movie theater in Long Island. When the little girl asked for some popcorn, a woman sitting next to the girl allegedly verbally attempted to quiet the 2-year-old. The girl's mother told the woman not to talk to her daughter, at which point the woman allegedly started screaming and cursing at the pair before covering the little girl's mouth with her hand. The woman then allegedly proceeded to dump popcorn over the 2-year-old's head and hit her with the empty container.
By the way, this is the second Long Island story for today.
Yes.
Whoa. Starting to move up in the ranks, Kathy.
Yeah, it's kind of like
Watch
Florida
out,
now.
Florida.
The little girl reportedly started to cry, and the woman and the man she was with reportedly took off from the theater. A doctor examined the 2-year-old afterwards and said her head hurt and had determined that she did have a contusion. So they managed to get these two, which are they're idiots. All right, and that is what I have for you in the Bizarre File for now.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, what's up? It's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Jack Frost and Big Boulder ski areas are officially open for the season. And WMMR's Day Up on the Slopes with Pierre Jackson is January 4th. Tickets are available now at WMMR.com while supplies last. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Still. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to handandstone.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I am, well, we all are very excited to have our next guest in the studio. I'm going to geek out pretty hard here in a moment, and I hope not to embarrass him too much. Please welcome, of Simple Minds, Mr. Jim Kerr.
Yeah. To the very kind of you. Thank you very much. A real pleasure to be here.
And by the way, Jim Kerr, I believe, is actually how you pronounce your last name, correct?
You got it right. In Glasgow, they would say that.
In Glasgow.
Here, they say more kind of Kerr.
Kerr.
Kerr, which is nice, but we're a bit hard on the E, Kerr.
It reminds you where you are, I guess, when you hear your name pronounced a certain way.
Well, my mother's favorite actress was Deborah Kerr.
Ah, that's a good choice.
So, nice compliment.
There you go.
I would like to, I'm going to start by throwing a lot of love your way. Your performance, and I'll get right to the song that broke the band in the United States, Don't You Forget About Me. Your performance of that particular song means so much to me. 1986, around that range, was when I was a senior in high school. The Breakfast Club, the film had come out, and it just spoke directly to a person like me. The song was such a huge part of the emotional impact of that film, and it has now become my almost... It's tangible, the emotion that I feel
right.
when I hear the song. It takes me back to that time in my life that was so important to my own personal development. I'm actually getting a little choked up here when I'm talking. And you were, you're the passion in your voice. Now, I'm probably going to overuse the word passion as we talk to you, Jim, because that's how I always categorize your vocal style, your singing, very, very passionate. And at that time, it rose above a lot of the other things that were on the radio at the time. And so, number one, I want to thank you. And I know that song wasn't written by you or your bandmates, but I think what you did with it just went above and beyond.
It's the performance.
Surpassed what that song really was.
Well, it's an honor to have any song that means so much to people, but particularly with that song, we are aware in the States, actually elsewhere, that song and the movie meant so much, not only to that generation, but amazingly, subsequent generations as well seem to have. It still seems those John Hughes movies, he really hit a nerve. And I know what you mean in the sense that, you know, I'm a music fan as well, and there's still, it's an amazing thing with music. Even more than film, I think, and photographs, you hear certain songs and it takes you back to a place. It takes you to the very emotion.
Most definitely.
And you know, there are certain songs that do that for me. I can actually, for me, it was always radio in my mother's house. There's certain songs I hear, I can actually feel the, we called it Formica table, this cheap, this cheap breakfast table, because, you know, the radio was there. Uh-huh. We listened to radio breakfast, as everyone does here.
Yeah.
And there's certain songs I can actually feel, you know, I'm right at the table. And I get a little teary about that as well.
Oh, my God. It's so true.
It's so powerful. And you, and I'm curious, here I am, a chance to meet you and say thank you in person and so forth. And you've had a tremendously successful career. Have you ever had a chance to speak to someone a la a David Bowie and say, that song meant so much to me? And do you feel a little odd saying that? Because I feel... I know you've heard it so many times, and I don't know if it gets old to you or not, and I feel a little embarrassed that I'm saying all this to you.
But Well, you bet. I mean, whenever I'm not cool when I meet people that have meant a lot to me, whether it's sports stars or
right.
rock stars or whatever, or movie. I just go up and say, you're amazing. I mean, you know, but it's, I mean, some of them kind of don't want to talk about it or something. Have yeah. you ever found that? Where
well, you yes, say, yeah, you get you, that. You,
and someone's just kind of went, yeah, whatever.
Well, and it's confusing.
To it.
It is confusing when, yeah. when that happens. Well, but.
Yeah. We've talked about this, Jimmy. It's sort of a liability when you meet people who've meant a lot. To you, or you, yeah. you know,
yeah.
and then you, and then we use the phrase "they were them." They were exactly who you wanted them to be,
yeah.
and it's like the ultimate when you get the person you hope they would yeah. be. Not everyone can be that, or some people, you know, sort of have sort of a jaded view, or they'll kind of
yeah.
frown upon what got them to the dance,
or they're self-conscious, or something.
Right? And for whatever reason, yeah. and you'd almost rather keep the illusion than yeah. the actual reality. But when yeah. they do sync up, yeah. and you get both, it's fantastic.
Well, I can talk about both for a minute because, yeah. as some of you might know, I was married to Chrissy Hynde.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah,
she's the greatest. I mean, she's just the greatest.
Well, "I'll Stand by You" is that's my wife. That's our wedding song. Yeah,
you guys now share a grandchild together.
We do indeed.
Yeah.
And yet Chrissy, she was the first to say, when anyone goes up to her in the street and goes, wow, Chrissy, you know, she kind of goes right in her shell and
yeah.
she kind of doesn't know what to say. And it comes across as being cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then she will regret that for the rest of the week. Genuinely, she'll say, oh, I met that person. And they must think, well, I won't tell you what
yeah,
she
no.
says. But she doesn't mean it. Like, she just gets kind of, whereas Charlie Burchill, my songwriting partner and guitar player in Simple Minds, we were beyond fortunate last week in New York because we had a night off, and I'm sure you're aware Springsteen was playing on Broadway, and
so cool.
Just to get tickets to see the show was enough to be 20 yards from him where he's standing with an acoustic playing Born to Run, and the spit was almost touching us. In fact, we were running towards it. And then afterwards, we didn't know this. Afterwards, as we were about to leave, someone came out and said, oh, you know, John Landau, Bruce's manager, would let you go back. And I'm sure no one will be surprised to hear me say that, you know, Bruce was just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just, he just wanted to talk about music, and he wanted to talk about a book that he'd written, of which the show is based on, of which we've all read. Uh-huh. And it was great to have someone as comfortable.
You love that. Did he relay any particular level was he citing some of your work, or because he clearly, you know, you
well, he's so, you know, he's so generous. He,
yeah.
he we had played in New Jersey the night before.
Okay.
I think John had told him that, and we played, so it was, we're in his hood. And
yeah.
he had just spent time on stage saying how he had a love-hate with New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
All he wanted to do was get out of there, hence Born to Run and all that. But, of course, he's still there. But he knew we'd played, and he was asking about the band and all that stuff. We have a few friends in common. Steve Van Zandt. We did a lot of things with Steve back in the day.
And the Sun City,
the Sun City thing. And also Jimmy Iovine, who produced Born to Run. He just produced the track that you played there, Alive and Kicking. And so, you know, we'd met Bruce before as well. So
I think, and it's the truth, that the people who, you know, I love when film directors come in here and they're fans of other directors, because you clearly have, you just at a core have a passion for music.
That's right.
So you are a fan of other musicians.
Yeah.
And I think that informs your ability to be a great musician, you know?
I would think so. I think to do, if you're in love with something, you know, it must be, listen, if you've got a job that you love,
yeah.
no matter what that job is, you've won the lotto, because we know what it's like if you don't like your job.
Yes.
So if you're passionate about it, I mean, even today we're going to go along to the theater 4:30 this afternoon. We're going to work on other stuff, songs that we want to bring into the set as the tour progresses.
That's great.
What I was chopping and changing, I'm excited about that. And it's only a sound check.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to ask about, Jim, yours and Simple Minds' history in Philadelphia. You played Live Aid here. From what I understand, you were the first band that was approached to play the Philadelphia show.
Well, certainly I remember getting the call from Geldof at the time. And it was amazing. You know, it was a great honor to be asked. And, of course, Although, obviously, we're from the other side of the pond.
Yeah.
At the time, the song that you mentioned, Don't You Forget About Me, was really climbing high in the Billboard charts. And Bob said, you know, you got to do it in Philadelphia. Mm. We were only too happy. We were en route anyway to come here and record. But I don't think any of us were aware that all these years later that it, you know, in terms of rock and roll anyway, it's still the historical event as our generation's Woodstock is.
Yeah.
Joan Baez, I think, alluded to that when she opened. She, that was her. But when you see now, even now when I see the numbers that were there in the stadium's not longer, no longer there.
Was that day fairly chaotic?
In the way you would expect. I mean, I was talking outside. I mean, everyone was there, you know. I mean, it was a whole... The great thing was I brought across my dad.
Oh, wow.
He'd never been in the States before. And we set off, he was wearing a bright yellow Scotland T-shirt. So I thought, how can you lose him? He's wearing a bright yellow... He said, what do you mean, how can you lose him? 120,000 people out there. But I saw him because he was wearing this...
The bright yellow Scotland T-shirt,
And he said to me, come here, I want to introduce you to this guy. I want to introduce you, who's here? Now, you think, you know, Madonna was there and Tina Turner and Mick Jagger and all that. And we went round. And there was this guy sitting on his amplifier, just strumming away.
Yeah.
Total dignity. Bo Diddley.
Ah, Bo Diddley.
And my dad said to me, Bo Diddley, if it wasn't for him, there would be no Live Aid.
Legendary,
you know, there would be no rock and roll. If it wasn't for these guys. And, of course, he was right. Yeah. So, memories like that come to the forefront.
Special. You mentioned Jimmy Iovine, and I saw the special on HBO about him, The Defiant Ones, and he talked about producing Born to Run and how frustrating it was because Bruce was such a perfectionist when it came to putting that record. And eventually somebody had to tell Jimmy, it's not your record, Jimmy, it's Bruce's. Let Bruce do what he needs to do. What was it like for you guys working with him?
I mean, we've been so lucky. We worked with Jimmy, Bob Clearmountain, Trevor Horn, Steve Lillywhite, all these people. But Jimmy just said this way. It's funny because I can tell the jury was out. Some of the people around us didn't quite get Jimmy.
Really?
Because Jimmy was he was more a kind of ringmaster. He couldn't go in and tell you technically what was wrong or what was right. It was all feel. And he had a great kind of meter on him with that. That feels great. That's where you should be. But he made you feel great. And if you felt great, then you're going to perform. He gave you confidence. And I, in some ways, we've never met anyone like Jimmy in that sense. He would be, you know how in sports you get a coach, I say this, that make journeymen believe they're much better than they are.
Right.
Jimmy did that to us.
It would seem like some producers are more musicians and some guys are more directors. And when it comes to instructing a band, and he seems like more the director kind.
I'll tell you a funny story about it, and this is the way he is too, because Alive and Kicking, we'd put together the demo. See, we were all a bit weirded out with the success of Don't You Forget About Me, because it become this kind of colossal thing, the movie and MTV, and everyone was all over it.
It was just a confluence of things going on.
Yeah.
And Jimmy was like, you know, what are you going to do to follow it up? It's a monster. What are you going to do? You know? And we were like, I don't know. Relax. We'll come up with something. And so we came up with this, basically the structure for Alive and Kicking. He's like, that's great. You know, like, you get it down, that's going to be amazing. And we all felt that. But I had done a guide vocal, kind of sketch lyrics that I meant to come back and finish off. And the first line, and it's, you know, you turn me on. So I go to do it for real, and I change the line to something else. And he goes, hang on a minute. Where's You Turn Me On? I said, you can't sing with You Turn Me On. That's terrible. That's garbage. You Turn Me On. I won't be able to go home to Glasgow if I sing that. People will just rip the out of me. And he went, you're going to change that? And I said, yeah. And he went, my wife loves it. All Vicky's friends love it. Everyone loves it. You can't change it. I said, I'm changing it. And he goes, he starts taking out his car keys and his house. He says, here, take them, because I'm going to lose my house. Here, you're going to cost me a fortune. You're going to cost me a fortune. And he was kind of half serious.
Yeah.
So it stayed.
Uh-huh. And
it kind of works.
It works. It works.
It works as long as I don't think about it.
But it's funny because you as the artist are going to be hypercritical it's something that we have to think about, even on our level of just doing what we do.
Yeah.
You know, like program directors or whatever, listen with different ears.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing, I think, and probably what distinguishes a good producer who is able to produce hits, listens as the consumer hears it.
Yeah. Well, in my head, if you're Marvin Gaye, you can sing You Turn Me In.
Right.
If you're some little white nerdy guy from Glasgow with freckles gone, You Turn Me On. It's creepy. But not according to
you. You were a tad bit nerdy, Jim.
A bit nerdy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's right. Chrissy Hynde seems like when you guys got together, I remember thinking, wow, she's like the leather rock chick and this guy. That's kind of wild.
Bit off a bit more than I could chew. but you got to give me kudos for
thumbs up for
daring to dance.
yes, absolutely. I want to, while I have you here, I want to throw a name out and give some love to somebody who may not know the name. His name is Mel Gaynor, and Mel is the drummer for Simple Minds. And so I, as a young teenage drummer, immediately outside of your vocals, and as I said, the passion that you brought to the melodies, was fixated on what a fantastic drummer this guy is.
Oh, he's amazing.
I'm telling you. And I'm going to play a little clip of Don't You Forget About Me, because I think it is one of the sexiest lead-ins to a hook of any song that's ever been played. It's right before the la-la-la-la part. Man, does he kick it in right here. This song wouldn't be the same without it, I don't think. Right here. Just brilliant.
Wow.
Just brilliant. It just brings it all the way home.
Preston, you said I was a little nerdy. You were a little nerdy there when you were doing it.
You saw my air drum, maybe.
We'll have to agree.
The thing is, from the stage, when you look out at that, the whole front row kind of goes...
Yeah!
Air drumming.
But he did this thing. He does these double crashes on the cymbals, which... he and Stuart Copeland were kind of the only guys doing it at the time.
Stuart's brilliant.
He's phenomenal. Yeah. And Mel did it a lot. Mm. I just wanted to make sure his name was mentioned because that's...
No, he's amazing. Play. However, I have to say, the girl who's playing with us just now, Charisse Osei, she's already been voted in the top five drummers.
No kidding.
You got to see, I mean, Charisse is tiny. Yeah. And there's a lot of women playing drums is great, but the power.
Okay.
A power drummer?
I mean, just, she's like, this size. She sounds like John Bonham.
Mm. I want to ask you with your sound, because you mostly, would you describe yourself, the earliest iteration of the band as more of a punk band?
Well, we came out of that. I mean, we, 6 months prior to Simple Minds starting, we were in this band called Johnny and the Self-Abusers.
I love that name.
It was all downhill after that. I love the name as well. And the best thing about the band, I mean, if you think of the whole punk ethos, they recorded one single and split up the day the single was released. I mean, that's pretty punk.
There you go.
But we did. I mean, actually, we grew out of, in Glasgow, we grew out of everything, prog rock, whatever, Motown music. But certainly that punk thing when it happened in 77, that was the thing that became the catalyst for kids to believe.
But your sound, I remember you could easily instantly tell your sound, and I would, without saying it's, to me, the way you can tell Phil Spector, a big sound, a big...
It is,
And to come from what is a sparse format...
To that...
Is a big jump.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, I mean... your DNA, you know, it's just there. Sometimes it's hard to know where it came from.
Right, you just let it go.
That's your trademark. That's your thing.
Those 1980s were a wonderful time in music because there was a bridge of music. There was a gap. So you guys kind of fell into this thing that was called New Wave at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember my friend, and I couldn't have you here without mentioning my friend Tim. He and I were both into Rush and Van Halen and Ozzy Osbourne and Judas Priest and all this stuff. And we were just rockers to the core. And you guys came along. And I liked some of the new wave stuff as well. I mean, I was a fan of what Duran Duran was doing and some others.
And my friend Tim just couldn't get past your vocal style. And I had to sit him down with your music. And I go,
I can't get past that.
But I, because you've got this kind of breathy style that you bring to the forefront. And once I told him, I'm like, this guy is singing with emotion. I'm like, listen to this. It's not just straight out screaming his head off. He's taking some vocal chances here. And after that, Tim told me, he talked to me years later. He's like, you know what? You don't realize this, but you kind of changed my appreciation for another
him into
kind of
it. I talked him into it.
Did you sit him down and say, breathy vocals, this is your guy?
If you want.
I'm gonna put that on my business card now.
Jim Kerr.
Breathy vocals.
The mitzvahs, birthday parties, you want breathy vocals, I'm your guy.
That's great.
God, that is too funny. When that time, when you guys hit, when you went from a band who was really struggling to, not necessarily struggling, but you're creating an audience slowly, this rise and rise and rise, and then boom, you hit, and all of a sudden you're the toast of the town. What is that, an immediate switch? Did you guys notice things right away as soon as you had top hit records?
Well, you know, when obviously in the States, the whole thing with the Breakfast Club and Don't You, it took us through the door and at the big league. However, other countries, we had records put out earlier, so we had,
and you had hit number one a couple of times in other countries.
Yeah, we did. So there was you're never really ready for it, but there was a growing. You know, there was a momentum. But it was hell of exciting. To be honest, I don't think we would have admitted then, but it was also a little scary. Yeah. You know, because suddenly your band. And I don't mean this, anyone should feel sorry for us, but there's a point you realize your band is not just your band anymore. You know, there's an industry around your band. Your band becomes an industry in itself. There's a lot more people involved and all that. And that's great, but you're learning on the hoof. And then when you're learning on the hoof, you're bound to make some mistakes. Even now, I look back and I think, should have looked at that differently or whatever. But
that's life in general.
Listen, you're right. Tomorrow morning, I'll feel that. I'll look back on the gig tonight and think that was great, but I know how we can make that better. Right?
Sure.
And that's a sort of micro.
And once you stop doing that, what's the reason to, you know, you're always looking to excel.
There you go. Yeah, no, it was amazingly exciting. And it's, even now I laugh and I'll tell them tonight, you know, you go around and I'll get in a taxi or something. The guy'll say, what are you doing? And I'll say, what band's you in? And he'll say, oh, I love your band. Your band's incredible. Don't you forget about me. They played it at my wedding. And you're my favorite band. I go, do you know any other songs? And they'll go, people say, you know, doesn't that tick you off? No, it doesn't.
Good.
Because if someone even likes one of your songs, you should feel honored.
I was going to ask that very question. You guys have had 18 albums, I believe. Mm. And I was wondering if that is an ego bruise or not, that most people know 3 to 4 songs out of that entire catalog of music.
Who are you to tell anyone what they should be listening to? If there's even one song they like, thankfully there's a few people that like a ton more than one.
I read a quote from Rod Stewart the other day, who's currently working on a new album, and he had said, you know, he's like, I've stopped trying to write Tonight's the Night and Do You Think I'm Sexy and things like that. Right now I'm basically writing songs for me, and some people are going to like them. It's not my time to sell 20 million records anymore. And he's just in a place where he's just happy because he likes to create music.
And that's the best place. I mean, honestly, if you know, to be able to be doing what you're doing, when you consider all the bands that and to have a loyal fan base that's come with you through the years, the odds of that occurring, that's literally lightning in a bottle. I mean, it's an impossible thing, and yet you have it.
You hit the nail on the head, Steve. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned earlier that you have worked together for 20 years.
Yeah.
Congratulations
Thank you.
We, in February past, we celebrated 40 years from our first gig.
40 years.
40 years. And people ask us, you know, go back, you know, try and put yourself in the head that you had, your young head that you had, and can you remember what you wanted out of this?
Right.
And I do clearly remember what we wanted out of this, and it was fairly minimal. beyond our dreams, but fairly minimal. We wanted to be in a great live band, yeah. and we wanted to take it around the world. And here we are 40 years later, still getting the chance to deal with that challenge. And it's been an amazing life doing that. Everything else that's happened, the ups and downs and the high points and the low points, and the rewards that have come and all that, they're all the extras.
Yeah.
That's still the fundamental thing we still want to do.
It's wonderful to hear that.
And we'll bring that. That's what we'll bring tonight. You know, minutes before we go on stage, we won't be thinking about did this sell and did that not sell and what was. We'll just be wanting to go out and prove ourselves as a great live band when we go on.
Excellent. I loved seeing you guys get together for the... it was the first time I'd seen you in a while. Was it at the Oscars where they did that? Or,
I believe
I'm sorry.
Was it the billboard?
They had the cast of Breakfast Club come out, and that had to have been really cool.
Yeah, guys, it was amazing. And they looked like they were having a blast.
I hadn't heard you in a while, and it sounds phenomenal. So tonight's show should be great.
We're going at it. We're having a great tour. We can't believe we're getting a chance to come back. This is our first extensive tour of the States for a long, long time. Yeah. We're about a week and a half in, and you know, people are just going mental every night.
I love it. So. Excellent. Jim, it's an honor to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks, all of you.
Our appreciate pleasure. Yeah,
Jim Carr, guys.
Yay!
Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. The Captain, the Pilot, the Driver. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. The Captain, the Pilot, the Driver. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks your world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Let's start in South Carolina. A man turned violent in a dispute over salt and vinegar potato chips. Ryan Dean Langdale had warned his 17-year-old cousin not to eat his chips.
Relative
did. Langdale shot him. Shot him.
Because of the chips.
The cousin said that Langdale had warned him, and I quote, "Do not touch my chips or I'll shoot you."
And what did he do?
Well,
He shot him.
Langdale now faces additional charges because the story he originally gave to authorities didn't add up, they said. Langdale reported the incident as an accidental shooting. The sheriff's office said Langdale told deputies his cousin had accidentally shot himself by dropping a hunting rifle while cleaning it.
Uh-huh.
The sheriff's office said, "We knew from the beginning that something wasn't right. The more we looked into it, the more it seemed odd." So dude shot his cousin.
They did an intense session of good chip, bad chip, and that's how they got it out of him.
It was over the salt and vinegar potato chips.
Do you like those chips?
They're my favorite.
Yeah. I love them.
No kidding.
They're really good.
I love them.
Kettle cooked or regular?
I'll take either. Okay. As long as it's got that salt and vinegar flavor. If you live in a big city, you likely spot some poop on the sidewalk from time to time, but a new study reveals you're far more likely to see poop in
San Francisco
than any other place in the country.
I love San Francisco.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Bennett.
Thank you.
Is here
Thank
this
you
morning.
So much.
Yes, you're more likely
the city
to see.
It's in my heart.
You're more likely to see poop in
knee deep in dookie.
In San Francisco than you are in New York or Chicago.
Seems like years ago I was out. Little young man running around building poop men.
That's right.
Like snowmen with corn cob pipes, carrots for noses, and coal for eyes.
You're more likely to see poop in the city by the bay than the city that never sleeps or
and it smells so good.
My kind of town, Chicago.
Thank God it has a lot of wind.
The study was conducted by real estate listing website Realty Hop, and used publicity available.
You want to know the reality? It's a lot of poop.
And 311 data to find there were 21,000 complaints about feces logged in San Francisco in 2017.
Logged. I get it.
And that is 10 times as many in New York City and 20 times more than Chicago.
Is that not staggering that many people are crapping on the streets?
The number of poop-related complaints logged in San Francisco has risen every year since 2011, and the data...
God, I gotta get back there.
The data shows no correlation between median home value and feces sightings. In general...
People are so free there, Preston. They just drop trow and let it pour out.
In general, people were most likely to complain about feces sightings on Mondays than Tuesdays.
You know that big curvy road out there in San Francisco, Preston?
Yeah, that's
Lombard
Street, yeah.
I want to poop on every curve. I almost made it once.
And they are far more relaxed about seeing the stinky stuff on the weekends, by the way. So,
well, weekends are the time for Dookie.
That's right. So, lots.
Beautiful city.
Way more poop
than human poop.
Ever anticipated.
It's unbelievable. You've had... I mean, the amount of stories coming out of there is just ridiculous.
Lots of stories.
They may need to look into correcting that.
Dude, when we were in Copenhagen in Denmark and we were taking a walking tour of the city.
Don't tell me it can beat San Francisco for poop.
I don't know, but I saw.
I don't want to hear it.
A fresh pile
of human poop?
Of human poop that our tour guide.
Now you're making me homesick.
Pointed out to us, and it was next to. A very significant historical statue.
Oh, my God.
It was fresh, still moist human feces. Nasty.
It just defies all reason.
All right, moving on. A crash between a log truck.
Again with the logs.
And another vehicle has police saying that one of the drivers is lucky to be alive. It happened Tuesday afternoon in Louisiana. The log truck was stopped at a red light when the second vehicle slammed into the rear. When the vehicles collided, a log went through the front windshield and all the way to the back glass. And I mean, right through the driver's side.
Dear God.
And I saw the picture of it. It looked amazing. Mm. The woman was able to move her head to avoid being hit by the log. There was also a one-year-old child in the back seat, and no one was injured in it. If you saw the photo, you'd be amazed. Now, somebody didn't get killed in this. Police
This is astonishing.
They're still investigating the crash. It was a very big log, by the way.
I used to have a present. It was kind of made the rounds years ago. It was a DVD of highway safety films. Mm-hmm. And in this film, they show the different crashes that can result from erratic driving and not paying attention to the road. Yeah. And this truck driver was transporting rebar. Oh, so he has the rebar in the back of the truck. He had to slam on the brakes, collided with something. All those bars of rebar... blew through the cab, through him.
Yeah.
So he's got like 7 rebar sticking through his chest.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Terrible.
Did he die?
He died.
Yeah.
Two more stories. Healdsburg police are hoping to nail the thief who snatched a hammer, but not just any hammer. It's a 20-foot-long hammer. It's made from steel and wood, and the hardware theft couldn't have been easy because it weighs about 1,000 pounds.
I bet when he tried to pick it up, he pooped.
It's part of an art installation program and was on loan. The hammer was discovered missing last Friday from the front of the Healdsburg Community Center, and they have no idea who could have gotten away with this thing. It's gigantic.
It's very impressive.
It's really cool looking.
I think, who wouldn't want that on their front lawn?
And I saved the best, sort of.
You started with the best, my friend.
For last. This is from Scotland. A man is fighting for his life after a dog... bit off his penis and testicles.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
You are a murderer. You're a hater.
Okay. Emergency services raced to the scene in Haddington East, Lothian, after the alarm was raised on Sunday. Cops found the 22-year-old victim unconscious in a pool of blood in his apartment.
Oh, my God.
An old English bulldog, which was drenched in gore, was also found at the property. It is understood that the animal belonged to a friend of the man. Ambulance crews called for police backup, and the victim was rushed to Edinburgh Royal Infirmary for treatment. He's now thought to be in a coma, having to be removed, moved to Western General Hospital.
Well, there's no coming back from that. You've been mauled. You've had your junk destroyed.
He lost his penis and both of his testicles as a result of the attack.
So that was he doing the old trick where you put the little cheese treat on top of your penis?
I don't know. The victim hasn't been interviewed by cops, and he hasn't regained consciousness since the incident. The dog is being held in a kennel while cops carry out a probe, and it's not known if the man owns the dog. A source said officers who were there are confident the injuries were caused by the dog because of the extent of the damage. They
said, fairly confident that the dog bit his schlong off.
The police officer said everyone there was shocked and sickened by it, so that's...
Sounds wow. A gory, bloody mess.
God, that is messed up. All right, and there you go. what I got in the bizarre file for you this morning.
That was tough.
What are you doing here?
The one thing we know how to do. MMR rocks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.